much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
These two young men have attracted a tremendous following among the youth of America with their lyrical interpretation of the world we live in. We think you will find the next hour both entertaining and stimulating.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, Wendy.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Allie, I miss you on Channel 5. Sorry,
oh, thank
to have
you.
They can have her back.
I'm so happy to have you back.
Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Here's our Christmas gift to Channel 5.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that was out loud.
This is like a modern-day Enchanted. It's like a fairy tale.
She could be your soulmate.
Oh, not likely. There are 3 billion women on the planet. Most of them live in Asia, so the numbers just don't add up.
Haters gonna hate.
How about that whole deal?
And now,
what's wrong with having a slice of real cheese once in a while, for crying out loud?
Our feature presentation.
I agree, by the way, Richard Simmons. Go for it. It's the holidays. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Thursday, the 6th of December, 2018. Hey, kids.
Hello. Hey, Bean.
Do you all allow yourself a little extra wiggle room when it comes to the holidays and your diet? Do you all go, you know what? This time of year, I'm going to have that cake, that pie, those cookies. It's Christmas.
2 weeks before Halloween through the New Year.
Oh, that's nice.
Bring it on.
Quite a grace period.
It is.
So your fourth quarter is just fattened up.
Oh, yeah.
Basically. And then you wake up January 1st and you go, oh, what have I done?
Usually like the first week of January, I'm like, wow, this got bad.
This got out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't eat a lot of sweets. I'm not a huge sweets guy, but it's hard to resist. I mean, you know, I had some people come by the house yesterday that brought cookies. You know,
oh, yeah.
Home baked holiday cookies.
And sure.
I mean, it would be rude to decline
for sure.
And B, they're so good.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like calories shouldn't count at the holidays.
They shouldn't. They do.
Right.
Unfortunately. But yeah, a lot. I don't eat sweets. If you put a cheesecake in front of me or a loaf of sourdough bread, give me that sourdough bread. I will carb it up.
Yeah. I guess what's bothered me the most recently is that we seasonally kind of prohibit foods that I love. Like, why can we only really eat stuffing in the fourth quarter or pumpkin pie? We could do this at any point. We're adults.
We could.
That bothers
and
me.
And it's probably why we gorge on it.
Yeah.
Because we feel like this is why we don't have it. So let's get as much stuffing in our mouth.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. And I also think most of us are not going to go to the store and buy Reese's peanut butter cups. But now when we have a big bag of them in our hallway because of Halloween, we go, oh, man, this is awesome. I'm going to have as much of this as I can.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense.
Also, my wife, I don't know if you saw on Instagram that I've been posting it. My wife has been buying Oreos covered in white fudge.
No, she's like on a weird mission with these things.
She's
like going to different Costco's and stuff. What's happening?
Targets.
Yes.
Targets. It's very odd. She has maybe 40 boxes of the same limited edition Oreos in the house. And she does it without irony because she, 3 years ago, found these Oreos and loved them and then couldn't find them again. And it's not happening to her again. She's furious.
Right.
It's not going to happen again. And so she buys like 15 to 20 boxes a day.
Are they seasonal? Or
yeah, they're seasonal.
Okay.
They're limited edition, quote unquote, food limited edition.
Right.
And we have so many in the house that I feel like I've put on maybe 8 pounds of just pure white fudge Oreo.
Well, it's her McRib, really, is what it is.
She also,
by the way,
also hoards the McRib. She has 30, 40 in the house.
Pounds put on by Oreos are worth it, though. Those are pounds that you could defend.
Yeah, I don't even like Oreos, normal Oreos, but the ones covered in white fudge are almost its own beast.
The whole cookie is covered in white fudge. Well, you need to bring some of those in.
Yeah, so I mean, we can't let my wife see that.
We can't let her know. If she doesn't know about it, just swipe one box.
Yeah.
Did you at any time in the 3 year gap period where she was between finding the Oreos, did you find her up late at night on on eBay trying to buy them at jacked up prices?
I know
that live without them.
That is a hyperbolic joke, but it is 100% true. Over a year ago, she told me about them, and she said it with the fervor that like a former heroin addict talks about drugs.
Wow!
Right. And she,
I got a hookup.
Yeah, she's like, I remember this thing, and drool coming out of her mouth. And she would tell me about it. And she's like, oh, it's sort of the white whale. It's like I've never, you know, I could never find it. And then I would catch her every once in a while checking online for it. And then we walked up at a Target, and they had a big display.
Oh, wow.
And almost like a tear in her eye.
Oh.
And then she just one hand supermarket sweeped just the entire display into
nice.
A cart. It was
nice.
It was stunning, actually.
Well, I've seen her reposting other people that have found them where they are,
yeah.
and they're like, what have you done to me? Now yeah. I'm doing it in my neighborhood.
Yeah, she's adding to the ratio of obesity in this country.
Good for her.
But worth it. Good food.
Yeah.
There are so many different Oreo flavors,
yeah.
by the way, now. I mean, it's a little bit out of control.
Yeah, and they
the
did
one,
peppermint
the one
bark,
that I,
too, right?
They did what?
Peppermint bark.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The one that I heard about that I've never found or seen is Cherry Coke Oreos.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't like it.
I would like to try it.
Yeah.
Because those are two of my favorite things. I'd like to see if they're two great tastes that taste great together.
Interesting.
But I have not found them yet. But, yeah, they got a million of them. That's for sure.
I'll put Danielle on it.
Please do. It sounds like she's the one to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, I want to do this thing because we are running out of shows for 2018. And I think if my math is correct, we only have one more great news coming up on Monday.
That's
so
true.
There's too many great news things happening right now to miss this one. I was thinking a lot about this yesterday. You know, the media is a lot of when you watch the TV and the TV news, it's a lot of late breaking and what's shiny. And a lot of times stories that probably deserve follow-up and further attention don't get it because we've moved on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And a perfect example of that is the wildfires, the Southern California wildfires, which we almost never hear about anymore. Yet there are hundreds and hundreds of people whose lives were completely shattered,
mm-hmm.
who are rebuilding starting from nothing. And that's one of the reasons, why we've teamed up with Spark of Love this year. And Beer Mug's going to be out in Pasadena. We'll talk to him next hour, collecting new unwrapped toys for the Spark of Love Firefighters Toy Drive. So this 4-year-old named Riley Wooten, he lived in Paradise, California. And along with lots of other people up there, his house was destroyed. As the fire approached, his grandmother and his mom barely managed to escape with little Riley before their home went up in flames. He is a dinosaur collector. He had hundreds of toy dinosaurs. That's been his thing. That's
dinosaurs.
Been his toy.
Okay.
Yes.
Allie concerned about the size of the house.
What?
Yeah.
So he grabbed two of his dinosaurs and his grandmother grabbed some of their clothes, and that is all they have left. They lost everything.
Aww.
He said, my mom was crying. They were convinced we were going to die in the car, but he did everything he could to, you know, to make his mom and his grandma feel better, assuring them it's going to be okay because he's a dinosaur trainer, he said.
Oh.
He left the house wearing his little hooded dinosaur jacket, and he's obsessed. So, heartbroken, obviously, he lost all of his dinosaurs. So, friends started asking what they could do to help the family. And the mom said, you know what? He's so sad without his dinosaurs. If you wouldn't mind just picking him up a little dinosaur, it would make him so happy. And that message went viral. And he has hundreds of dinosaurs again.
Please stop sending my kid dinosaurs.
Well, here's what makes it. First of all, I'm so happy for little Riley because, look, he may not even. How old did I say he was? He's like 4. So he may not even comprehend the enormity of what has been lost.
Right.
You know, if his parents are doing their job, they're keeping him as positive and as happy as they can. And he doesn't know the struggles that they're going through right now. But the dinosaurs are what make him happy. So he just lights up and gets so excited. Every time the mailman comes, he gets more dinosaurs. By the way, his preschool that he attends was also destroyed. So his whole life is upside down. These dinosaurs are his anchor right now. Here's where I'm heading with all this. He has now gotten so many dinosaurs that he has decided it was his idea, his mom said, to start sending them to evacuation shelters so that other kids affected by the fire can enjoy them too.
Come on, Riley.
This kid.
Little Riley, right?
Riley 2020.
Forever.
Yep. I mean, until tomorrow when we find out he's a racist, this is an awesome kid. So he gets all these dinosaurs, and rather than just say, mine, 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 he says, you know what? There are other kids out there who could probably use a dinosaur, too.
I love him.
He's a good kid.
I do. I love that story. So anyway, out of order. I know it's not Monday, but that is some great news. Let's talk about today's Kevin Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, come on. No.
I don't know that that's the attitude.
We have to.
It is Thursday, which means we are going to get up on this. Mm-hmm. Every week, around 7 o'clock, Jensen introduces us to something new, something we may have missed. Can be a podcast, can be a movie, can be a film, can be an item that we can buy, can be a trend.
Yeah.
And we never know what it is ahead of time, so I'm going to be listening right along with everybody else to find out what it is. There's a popular theory, Jensen. You say it's been going around for a couple of years, but it is back in the news this week that Christmas Story, the all-time classic Christmas Story, the movie is terrible.
Mm-hmm. It's a hot take.
Hot take right now. This is part of millions of people's holiday enjoyment is seeing that movie. That 24-hour marathon on TBS is their favorite part of the whole year, right?
Yeah, it's a big film, and it was a cult hit. It wasn't a big deal when it first came out, and then it got steam over the years.
I feel like the thing now is telling people why they shouldn't enjoy things, and it drives me absolutely bonkers. The world is crap enough. We have so many people saying, oh, you like that? Here's why you shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's absurd. And I hate this woman.
Yeah,
I get that.
And I want her in a box.
Whoa.
In the ground.
Whoa. Didn't even kill her. Just put her in a box.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to cover it.
Right.
It's like an open box. She can get out at any time.
It's got holes in it.
But I feel like I'm just sending a message.
Yeah.
Okay. Message received, you would say. RJ Bell, pregame.com, Las Vegas, talking NFL Week 14 picks. It's getting serious now. Every week, somebody's going to clinch at this point.
Right.
You know, we're finding out where the playoffs are shaping up, so we'll see what RJ has to say.
More videos will come out from hotels. Lots of stuff in the NFL.
Certainly, that the NFL will have not at all properly investigated.
Right.
And how about this? How about Jonah Ray making his triumphant return to the Kevin and Bean Show? What a great dude Jonah is.
He,
of course, is the host of Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix, so we'll catch up with Jonah. That'll be fun. Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly Thursday visit as well. And speaking of great news, I uncovered something last night. I'm not going to tell you anything right now. I'm just going to tease. At 6:30 this morning, I'm going to blow your guys' mind with some great news.
Oh,
all right.
I'm counting it down right now.
Okay.
You guys are going to be as happy as I am. Can you see a little spring in my step here today?
I wasn't sure what it was. I thought it was like a limp. I wasn't sure. Yeah.
I found out something so amazing that I can't wait to share with you guys 1 hour from right now. All of that plus Allie's. Is it Golden Globes nomination day, Allie?
It is.
Already?
They came out at 5 a.m. this morning.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
The year's just flying on by. We are head on into award season, and Allie is here to break it down for us here on what's happening on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, the 76th Golden Globes will air on Sunday, January 6th, and we now know who the host will be. Announced, I don't know, late last night, early this morning, Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh.
The famous comedy team.
The famous comedy duo of Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh.
Have they ever, I don't know, met?
Oh, yeah, they did the whole back and forth of the flub between La La Land and Moonlight when they were presenting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they made fun of awards.
So what happened, basically what happened is two people went on stage, had good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to get hosts in 2018.
Absolutely.
And they said, let's try that again.
And the fact that Andy was on SNL for so long and is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which moves to NBC and debuts the same week as the Golden Globes.
That helps as well. And Sandra Oh is having quite a moment right now.
Good Lord, yeah.
Because of her Killing Eve.
Yeah, she not only stars on Killing Eve, but she's a co-executive producer. She's absolute magic. If you don't watch that show, it's my favorite show of the year.
She's awesome.
She's incredible.
I might back you on that, Allie, by the way. That might be my favorite show of the year, too.
I already called it, so it can only be mine.
Oh, I didn't realize it,
yeah,
it was
that's
just
how
one
it works.
Person.
I'll sit,
yeah.
I'll sit over here alone with Barry.
See, that's my other favorite show. If I could have NoHo Hank on Killing Eve, I mean, that would be
like
the best. It would be
crossover.
A weird crossover, yeah. But I'd be into it. Listen, let me give you guys the movie nominations for Golden Globe, because there are about 8,000 of them.
Okay.
Best Motion Picture Drama, Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, If Beale Street Could Talk, Black Klansman, and A Star Is Born.
Great movie. Star Is Born is a great
movie. All right. Yeah. Oh, did we lose this mic? Bummer.
Yeah,
bummer.
Unfortunately, it just cuts out something.
Yes. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. Glenn Close for The Wife, Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born, Nicole Kidman, Destroyer, Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me, Rosamund Pike, For a Private War.
That's the one where she plays the journalist, the war journalist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know what Destroyer is or...
Yeah, that could have been fake.
Yeah.
That is real. It just hasn't opened yet.
All right.
You know, the Golden Globe, they see things before we do.
Yeah, they do.
The international press.
Absolutely. Yeah. Actor in a drama, Bradley Cooper, A Star is Born. Mm-hmm. Willem Dafoe for At Eternity's Gate. Lucas Hedges for Boy Erased. Rami Malek.
Yeah.
That guy. Bohemian Rhapsody. John David Washington for Black Klansman. For Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy, Crazy Rich Asians, The Favorite, Green Book, Mary Poppins Returns, and Vice. Okay, Vice. Just saying.
Does it make sense to you that Vice is in the same category as Mary Poppins? Did you just say that?
I did. It's musical or comedy, which I would put Vice in drama.
Yeah, it looks like a drama to me.
But maybe we'll get to why. Best performance by an actor, musical or comedy, Christian Bale in Vice, mm-hmm. Lin-Manuel Miranda, Mary Poppins Returns, Viggo Mortensen, Green Book, Robert Redford, The Old Man and the Gun. He plays the old man.
He seems like a fake title.
And John C. Reilly, Stan and Ollie.
John C. Reilly. I can't wait to see Stan and Ollie.
Yeah, but that's all Christian Bale, everybody. Just letting you know.
You guys remember the Robert Redford movie where he plays a bank robber, a very polite bank robber on his last job.
Oh, so The Old Man and the Gun is
about an old man with a gun, right?
Okay, literally. Okay, good.
I just want to make sure Jensen doesn't think it's fake. You know, that's a real movie that came out.
I still think Ali's just making some of these up.
Might be. Best animated motion picture, Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs, Mirai, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Ah, there's your winner right there.
I don't know. Isle of Dogs, also very, very good.
Yeah, and people do love the Wes Anderson.
Yep. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role. Amy Adams, Vice. Claire Foy, First Man. Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk. Emma Stone, The Favorite. And Rachel Weisz, The Favorite.
I think there are a lot of really good movies and really good performances this year.
What's The Favorite?
The Favorite is the one that's with the
Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz.
Yes,
right. Okay, best performance by an actor in a supporting role. Mahershala Ali for Green Book, Timothy Chalamet for Beautiful Boy, Adam Driver Black Klansman, Richard E. Grant Can You Ever Forgive Me, Sam Rockwell for Vice. Best director. Bradley Cooper, A Star is Born. Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. Peter Farrelly, Green Book. Spike Lee for Black Klansman. And Adam McKay for Vice. Once you see that movie, Jensen, you're going
to... All right, I'm excited.
I'll
be there first weekend.
Woo!
I'm so happy to see Black Klansman get a lot of recognition. You know, Spike Lee has been hit or miss for the last few years, but this was really a return to form for him, and it's great.
There you have it.
The Favorite is directed by my favorite director, who did Dogtooth, and I don't know if you guys saw The Lobster.
I love The Lobster.
So this is his new movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love his Dogtooth film. Oh. It's crazy, and obviously The Lobster's insane, but this is his newest.
Is it cuckoo as well?
I don't think
he just
made
toned
like
down
normal...
all the cuckoo one day. He's like, listen, I'm just going to make a straightforward movie. You'll love it.
He's about kids making a snowman. No, it's probably insane.
And this is Olivia Colman. This is the one where she plays Queen Anne.
Yeah.
Oh, that's The Favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. All right. I'm glad we could go on this journey together. Best screenplay, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, Deborah Davis, Tony McNamara for The Favorite, Barry Jenkins for If Beale Street Could Talk, Adam McKay for Vice, and Nick Vallanoga, Brian Curie, and Peter Farrelly for Green Book. Those are the movies in the movie category.
One of the Farrellys wrote the Green Book?
Oh, yeah,
is
and directed
it, too.
Is
one of the Farrelly brothers?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. What?
He is.
Weird.
And directed it, too. I realize as I hear you read that I've got to see a lot of movies.
A lot of
the
movies.
Holidays.
Same with me.
Yeah.
All I have seen is Vice, Beautiful Boy, Black Klansman.
I gave you Beautiful Boy.
Yeah, you did.
All right. I mean, whatever. I didn't give it to you. I gave you a ticket. I gave you money to buy a ticket.
You were like, Allie, can you not afford to go see this at the Grove? And I was like, no, Jensen. Right. And you gave me a fiver.
Yep.
You were in no way sharing a screener.
No.
Because that would be wrong.
I'd never do that.
I know that so many of these great movies come out in December because they're trying to get awards.
Right.
But that does a real disservice to the rest of the year and to moviegoers throughout the year. Yep. They should spread them all out a
They
should spread them all out, and they should trust in the people who make the nominations to go, I can remember a movie that came out in August.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. You can't trust those people, and I think they have learned that. That's the thing. I'll say this, though. Christmas Day. Vice. I know I've talked about it a lot. And
too much.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
this
right.
is the Peaky
I don't
Blinders
want it to
movies.
Be my Peaky Blinders yeah. because I think everyone needs to see this movie.
I mean, I'm this close to turning on it.
Yep, I'm very close as well.
I'll never say it again. Some birthdays for you. The guitarist for R.E.M., Peter Buck, and Judd Apatow. And
what's up, man? It's Beer Mug.
Beer Mug!
A.K.A. Muggos.
Muggle!
This is my new song called Mumble Rap.
Ha!
I'm about to get it. I got a pile of coke.
Sniff it.
You got a bottle of coke.
Drink it.
Rhyme skills are not a joke.
Laughing.
Got allergies up in my nose.
Sneezing.
You guys understand we're only a couple of days away from seeing Beer Mug perform that song live on stage at the freaking Forum.
Yeah. It's going to be a big deal.
Muggos is opening the show, ladies and gentlemen, and Beer Mug is on the scene right now in Pasadena, 765 North Lake Avenue at the Del Taco location there. We'll tell you why in a second. Muggs, have you given any more thought to your performance on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, you know, discussing this yesterday, I am definitely going to need somebody to shout out the ad-libs. I don't know if Allie still wants to do it, but I'm going to need somebody.
Never wanted to do it. Let me make that clear.
I just volunteered her.
Yeah.
Jensen,
thank you.
I feel like Jensen has the credentials to do it, though.
I don't know. I feel like he needs someone else.
But you're hot Carl.
I get it, but there can't be that much Jew on stage while performing.
It is a lot for Acoustic Christmas.
It's a lot of Jew.
After what you guys did to Jesus?
Yeah. It's a lot of Jew at a Christmas celebration.
It is a little off-brand, I guess. What about Jensen's suggestion yesterday that maybe you just need to dummy up some sort of backing track so you're kind of, you know, you're kind of rapping to yourself.
Yeah, I think we're going to do that. I think me and Jeremashi 69 will get into the lab and, you know, maybe dummy something up.
All right, so if you're lucky enough to be going to K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend, get there early. You hit the stage at what time, Beer Mug?
It'll be around 5 o'clock. It's going to be in the middle of Jeremy's set. Jeremy goes on at around 5, so it'll be in the middle of his set somewhere.
Okay, get there in time to see it. That's fantastic. Sound like you were going to say something, Jensen.
No, neither of us are going to say anything. I just am very excited for this performance to
a point
of pure silence.
All right, Muggs, every day this week you have been doing the Lord's work and you have been collecting new unwrapped toys for the Spark of Love charity that the firefighters do every year. It is needed this year more than ever. Tell us what the setup is today, please.
Today we are at the Del Taco in Pasadena, located at 765 North Lake Avenue, and Since it hasn't rained all year and it's just decided to just start pouring these last 2 days and make it a little more tricky for us, we will be set up inside the restaurant today because nothing will be dry if we stay out here all day. So if you drive by, you'll see the K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Janky van set up or parked on the street, and we'll be set up inside doing Enter to Wins for K-Rock Acoustic Christmas tickets. We're doing drawings at the top of every hour, 7, 8, 9, and of course, collecting your new unwrapped toys for the Spark of Love toy drive.
And by the way, Pasadena, show up for this because Ontario came out in a torrential downpour yesterday and completely filled up the Janky van with toys. So that's the challenge today is you need to do the same because we need it. 765 North Lake Avenue at the Del Taco location there in Pasadena. Beer Mug will be there for the next couple of hours, so definitely swing on by. Get your pitch taken with Muggs and with the Janky van. You know, Muggs is going to blow up so big after Muggos' live performance this week. This may be your last chance to get a photo with him without having to pay for it.
I thought you were going to say he's going to blow up so big because he's been going to a Del Taco every day. I thought you were referencing size.
How stoked, though, is he that it's raining so hard? And he's like, we had to move it inside.
Yeah, I'm going to be in
so
the
much
fryer
closer.
Now. Yeah.
All right, Muggs.
My job is tough, guys. What can I say?
I know. Have fun. We will talk to you later, sir. Appreciate it. All right. I promise you guys some huge news.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't oversell.
Well.
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I brought to you the very sad news about Witch Rot breaking up?
Oh no. It's back in the news?
Witch Rot, ladies and gentlemen, is back in the news.
No.
For folks who weren't with us then, here was the post on Facebook from Witch Rot.
due to the unfortunate reality of our guitarist effing my girlfriend of almost 7 years, Witch Rot, who we are now listening to on the Kevin DeBean Show, will be taking an extended hiatus. I, however, will continue the band in another space and time, being ripe with hate. The music is slowly flowing and without a doubt will become the most devastating, torturous music I have ever created. Thanks for the support. Stay heavy, Peter. Also, our drummer died. Okay, so that...
Still good.
So that was, as you can imagine, that went viral as the most insane band breakup note of all time. What was our prediction at the time, by the way? Did we think they'd come back, or did we think that Witch Rot was dead and buried?
We thought they were dead and buried.
At least the drummer, yeah.
It certainly sounded like that. Oh, hold on. Let's enjoy a little Witch Rot.
Please, because please.
I think we're getting to the singing part here, and you may see part of the problem with the band. Okay, they're not for everyone.
No.
Okay?
Well, neither is their production.
Yeah.
They are a Toronto-based doom metal outfit. All right, so now the band is back in the news.
Yeah.
In a case of good news, it turns out that their drummer didn't actually die.
Oh! What a turn.
And the band has decided to unbreak up.
Yes! Witch Rot!
Oh, thank
Witch Rot forever, you guys.
Can they get to the forum this weekend?
So Peter Turek, who wrote the original Facebook post, says, the other Sunday I posted on Witch Rot's Facebook page that the band was taking a break. Two people I cared about stabbed me a trillion times in the heart with betrayal. And that resentment scars like hellfire. I think we need to start over with the Witch Rot.
Yeah. Well.
So he's still, you can see, he's still hurting very much.
Right.
It obviously left me feeling wretched. I always hate it when bands stop dead without any updates. And I felt, well, might as well let the people know. But after writing, I asked Simon, our drummer, who had quit a couple weeks prior.
But he's dead.
He's not dead. If it was a good idea. And he said, yeah, but say I died, no one will give an S.
Wow.
So the drummer
Simon.
Said, just tell him I died. You're breaking up the band. Just tell him I'm out. All right?
Oh.
Peter continues. I was floored by the fact that this post received so much attention, considering we only had about 300 likes on the Facebook page when I wrote it. But the amount of positive feedback that people have expressed with regards to my situation, along with the praise for our music, because I guess hearing, you know, what the drama behind Witch Rot sent a lot of people to their Bandcamp
page.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I had never heard of them before, and now I got a Witch Rot tattoo. So I'm a fan for life. It was touching to say the least. I thought maybe a couple of people in Europe might care or like the post, but instead it reached almost every news source on the planet. At this point, I am going to continue the band full force.
Yes.
Okay.
I talked to Lee. We talked it over, and I'm so happy that she is still on board. She has a powerful voice that makes you feel small in her presence, kind of carved out and hollow. That's one way I would describe her singing.
I didn't see it being a woman.
I didn't know it was a woman at all.
No, it's a woman. Okay. It's Lee. I mean, if you listen real close.
Well, it's hard because they recorded it three cities over.
Right. We are going to use this attention to our full potential. We have booked studio time and also have decided to recruit some friends to play Lee's Palace on December 28th here in Toronto.
That's just the lead singer's house.
It might just be. Of course, now we have big plans to tour extensively in the near future.
Wow.
No sense in waiting around. We have so many talented friends that can easily learn our songs in no time. I've decided to switch to guitar. That way the guitar will finally sound the way it's supposed to.
Okay, so that dude's out. The guy that had the affair with his girlfriend.
He is out, the guitarist. Yes, that's
right. Okay, he's gone. Okay.
So Peter is now moving over to guitar. I don't know if he was just a singer before or if he was playing bass and now they're just going to hire somebody else to play bass.
Do they need a bass player?
Oh, Jeff.
Which not forever.
Stay heavy. Peter is how he ends it. So guys, new studio time, new show, new tour. Witch Rot is back. They're making Canada great again. I mean, this is fantastic,
man.
Right?
This is very exciting.
I'm looking for merch online right now, searching the
seriously.
Site.
It's like Christmas came early, you guys. And our friend Jonah Ray from Mystery Science Theater 3000 joins us later on the program today. Dr. Drew Pinsky, like we do on Thursdays, and RJ Bell in Las Vegas talking NFL. You know, the show's this weekend, you guys. The K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018.
Yeah, it is.
I have a countdown on my phone. Tells me how much time's left.
Nice.
I check it every 30 seconds. It's a bit of a happy, you know, like, it's not, it's messing with my work.
Yeah, a little bit.
Saturday and Sunday at the Forum. You know, it is not too late for you to be there. In fact, we're going to give you the opportunity to let us know how much of a fan you are today. In about a half an hour, we're going to open up the phones for your fan songs. Now, fan songs can mean you can do a parody of one of the songs, for instance, by one of the acts that's playing on the bill this weekend if you want. You can do an original song if you want. Hell, you can rap it if you want. Why do you say it like that? Those are the best callers.
You haven't heard these.
You haven't heard our listeners rap.
Well, I was just saying, we have Muggos already. It's kind of a high standard.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So I'm giving you a heads up right now so you can start thinking about it. This might be a great way for you to win floor tickets to both nights for the shows this weekend. All you have to do is just give us a call and sing or rap your way in. This is your heads up. We'll be opening up the phones in about a half an hour from right now. Don't forget, you can also go to KROQ.com for your chance to win the absolute best seats in the house and VIP passes as well. So fan songs next hour here on KROQ. All right, Thursday morning, Allie is here. Time for another look at what's happening.
Well, we were talking about the Golden Globes. They came out at 5 a.m., all the nominations. And we only got through the movies because there's a lot.
Yeah.
This is all about TV and movies. And we did find out the 76 Golden Globes are going to air on January 6th with hosts Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh. It's going to be on NBC because it's always on NBC for the last 23 years, and they have just signed something that says that they will be on NBC another 8 years. So it'll be there for you guys. But if you're wondering what television network got the most nominations, FX!
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Wow, your favorite network.
It is my favorite network. I do have some questions, though. I have some questions. I'm going to write some nominations in, you guys, and you guys feel free as well. So, best TV series drama: The Americans, Bodyguard, Homecoming, Killing Eve, and Pose.
You have something you'd like to add?
No, not there.
Okay.
No. You guys?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Barry will go in comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Best performance by an actress in a drama: Catriona Belf for Outlander.
You made that up. That's fake.
Elizabeth Moss, Handmaid's Tale, Sandra Oh, Killing Eve, Julia Roberts, Homecoming, and Kerry Russell, The Americans.
That's a pretty strong category, too.
My God, yes. Actor in a drama: Jason Bateman, Ozark, Stephen James, Homecoming, Richard Madden, Bodyguard, Billy Porter, Pose, Matthew Rhys, The Americans.
What's Pose again?
Pose is Ryan Murphy. It's like...
Yes. Yeah. Gotcha.
Musical or comedy, best TV series: Barry.
Yay!
The Good Place.
Yay!
Kidding.
Yay!
The Kaminsky Method.
I don't know. I'm in between.
And The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Great.
Where's Atlanta?
Yeah, that is an odd one.
Where's Atlanta?
Yeah.
Atlanta...
It was the best season of Atlanta, the Robin season.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just wondering if Atlanta resonates more with us Americans than it does with the foreign press.
Well... Maybe.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah. The Kaminsky Method? I don't even know what that is.
That's Chuck Lorre's show on Netflix. It's his drama.
Everyone is in their car right now so mad. How do you not know? It's amazing.
No, I don't think people are saying that.
Okay. No, there's not a lot of buzz on it at all, but this is the guy, for folks who don't know, who has created, I don't know, 10 enormous television shows, including Two and a Half Men, Big Bang Theory. I mean, is it possible that he has a tremendous amount of goodwill with the fewer than 100 voters of the Golden Globes, the Hollywood Foreign Press, because he's had such a long and successful television career, maybe?
In its defense,
rooting for Chuck Lorre.
In its defense, the reviews have been okay of the show.
Yeah.
People tend to like it. I don't think it's for me.
Yeah, well, so it's Michael Douglas and like Alan Arkin, I think, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to write in Atlanta there.
Yeah, that does. I mean, look, you got to dump something if you write something in. It sounds like you're willing to let Kaminsky go without even seeing it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a gift. Actress in a musical or a comedy: Kristen Bell for The Good Place.
Good for her.
Candace Pergen for Murphy Brown. Already canceled.
Like a wasted slot. And by the way, we already knew Candace Bergen was an excellent actress. We don't need a Golden Globe in 2018 to tell us that.
Alison Brie for Glow. Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Deborah Messing for Will and Grace.
Okay.
Actor in a musical or a comedy: Sacha Baron Cohen, who is America. Do you know anything about that show?
I worked on that show. Oh. I was a consulting producer, and Sacha Baron Cohen did some of his best work, in my opinion.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey for Kidding. Michael Douglas for The Kaminsky Method. Donald Glover for Atlanta.
There you go.
And Bill Hader for Barry.
That's a great category.
That's a great category. That is absolutely stacked.
Yeah.
Best TV limited series, The Alienist, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, Escape at Dannemora, Sharp Objects, and A Very English Scandal. I am going to write something in here as well. Hmm. I'm going to write in Patrick Melrose.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Okay.
But I've heard it's good. That stars a
brilliant
Hollywood hunk, Benedict Cumberbatch.
He's a thumb, but he does his best work ever in this.
Yeah. I'm probably the only one on our show and maybe in our listening audience who saw A Very English Scandal, by the way.
Was that Hugh Grant?
Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Sure was.
By the way,
Prime
there's
History.
So many TV shows I could just call that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A Very English Scandal.
Yeah, that's
yes.
what it's about.
So, actress in a limited series made for television, Amy Adams, Sharp Objects, Patricia Arquette, Escape at Dannemora, Connie Britton, Dirty John, Laura Dern, The Tale, Regina King, 7 Seconds, actor in the same category, Antonio Banderas, for Genius, Picasso, Daniel Brühl for The Alienist, Darren Criss, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, Benedict Cumberbatch for Patrick Melrose, and Hugh Grant for A Very English Scandal. Supporting actress, Alex Borstein, I just added an N. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Patricia Clarkson, Sharp Objects, Penelope Cruz, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, Thandie Newton for Westworld, Yvonne Stravosky for The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm. She's phenomenal.
She is so good in it.
Yeah, she's Josephine's wife.
Ah.
Yeah.
Actor in supporting role, Alan Arkin, Kaminsky Method, Kieran Culkin, Succession.
She's so good in that.
It's hard to say Succession.
Secession. Adam McKay's involved in that.
I mean,
your boy.
I just love the name Kieran Culkin.
He's very
good. I love everything
in it.
About it. Edgar Ramirez, The Assassination of Gianni Versace. Ben Whishaw, A Very English Scandal. And Henry Winkler, Barry.
Oh, best. I'd like to write in Ricky Martin for Giovanni Versace.
Okay.
He's very good in it.
Well, there you go. We have our write ins. It has been done.
There are a lot of very talented performers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turns out. There's a lot of good acting going on.
Turns
in the world today.
Out.
Again,
yeah.
peak TV,
you guys.
Too much TV.
I'm telling you, there's too much going on, but it's peak television. I think it's more impressive than the movies this year. Hot take.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Some birthdays. Peter Buck, R.E.M., Judd Apatow.
Another reminder, we'll open up the phones in about 20 minutes or so for your fan songs. We're looking for you to sing or rap or parody, whatever you want to do about why you need to be there, what you're excited about if you win the tickets on the floor for both nights of this weekend's K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. About 20 minutes from right now, fan songs will get you in the door both nights. All right, Thursday morning here on K-Rock, R.J. Belt talks the NFL Week 14 coming up in less than 1 hour from right now. But first, Jensen's here. It's time to get up on this.
Get up, get on up,
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 on this.
I'm on a bit of a streak for those who haven't been keeping score at home. I gave you Alec Benjamin 2 weeks ago. People love that pop album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great. It was a great tip.
Kenna last week.
Amazing.
Was an album that people didn't know existed from 2001.
A lot of reaction on social media, the Kevin Bean social media, to Kenna. And we found out there are a ton of Kenna fans out there who just, it blew their mind that their man was getting some recognition.
That's right. And he deserved it for his album, New Sacred Cow. So I feel like I can't blow this. I got to get on something.
Okay.
Uh-oh, this is going to be a mistake.
I can't. I got to stay on track.
Okay.
I'm going to get you up on something you don't know about that's new, and it's a band called Cherry Glazer, spelled Cherry, second word, Glazerr.
Oh. Now, that's not a stripper's name?
No. It's actually, they're named after an NPR radio host named Cherry Glazer, who spells it normally. But in 2018, you have to spell your rap name or your band name crazy because of social media, handles.
That's so funny. So they just added an R.
Yeah, you can't be Steve. You have to be, $TEEVE.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to, put, an asterisk in it or something. Anyway, Cherry Glazer is a rock band out of Los Angeles, and it's fronted by guitarist and lead vocalist Clementine Creevy, who started her real name.
I love a Clementine.
Yeah, Creevy also, who started her career at 15 years old under the moniker Clembutt.
Okay, I love
which,
her.
I mean, she's already a fan, right? She started putting out music in her preteens, basically, on SoundCloud. And her solo tracks caught the attention of influential Burger Records co-founder Sean Borman, who put these bedroom songs out as a tape a year later. So she's sort of a wonder kid in that way. And since then, Creevy has been joined by bassist Devin O'Brien and drummer Tabor Allen to form Cherry Glazer. And kind of like members have come in and out kind of around Creevy. You know what I mean? Kind of a Paramore situation where different people show up all the time.
And, she's the main.
She's the front. Yeah, she's the lead. And so you may have heard them recently on Kat's Locals Only show because she has great taste just like I do. But their new album, Stuffed and Ready, comes out early next year. And I'm
very... sorry, it's called what?
Stuffed and Ready.
Also the name of my college memoirs.
Mine after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
See, that's just a sweet... That was nothing gross.
It's lovely.
It's just a nice thing. I'm very excited for it. As far as like rock, right, there's no one coming out that has any sort of anticipation or like we said the other day, only two rock bands are in sort of like the most... streamed. Like, it's hard to find new rock that's really, and we should be pushing attention towards that. So Cherry Glazer is that for me. They played Coachella last year. They have two prior albums out. So this isn't something completely new on the verge. It's just something you should know about, especially because they've went from sort of a minimalistic garage rock sound to a more polished sort of pop rock new wave thing that I'm getting you up on. Their new single's called Daddy. It was just released in November. I can't stop listening to it. Let's listen.
Where should I go, Daddy? What should I say? Where should I go? Is it okay with you? How should I put it? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? How should I go, Daddy? What should I say? Where should I go? Is it okay with you? How should I put it? What should I say?
Yeah.
Wow, likey daddy.
See, when you said the name was Daddy, I pointed at Bean, and I was like, oh, here it comes. And you didn't disappoint.
Also, can you mark when he said, likey, Daddy?
Oh, we've got enough of those.
It's a great song. Also creepy, but very, very good. And they also released another new song this last week called Juicy Socks, continuing to show their new evolution, which I think is a perfect fit for K-Rock in a universe where, you know, when do you hear new rock music being released? Not much.
Never.
All right. This song is called Juicy Socks.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous.
Great. This is great music.
Yeah. Is it? Is that rock?
Yes, now in 2018,
now
that
rock.
Is pop,
okay.
New wave rock. Yes,
okay.
I'm telling you in the same way I tell you who a Hollywood hunk is, I can tell you what rock is.
See, that's insane.
That's my girlfriend.
While
I'd kill for her.
All right.
Can I say?
Nope. I feel like Rodney would be such a big Cherry Glazer fan.
Smash hits.
He loves it.
He'd claim daddy's about him.
Smile.
All right, this took a real turn. They're great. Are they playing any shows?
Well, they're going to be doing a lot coming up with the new album. And while we wait for it, you can download their 2017 album, Apocalyptic, which is also very, very great.
That's
Here's
awesome.
A song from that. It's called Told You I'd Be With the Guys. Yeah,
that's,
Cherry Glazer.
That's real good.
It's all very
Perfect
good.
Girl.
Oh, no. Oh, Rodney, are
yes,
you?
Yes, do the clam.
Oh, all right.
Rodney.
Yes, where the action is.
You're a big fan of Cherry Glazer, Rodney?
Hot tramps?
Took a real turn.
Get up on Cherry Glazer and get up on Clementine Creepy.
Get up, get on up, all this.
Get up, get on up,
all this.
Get up,
get on up,
all this.
Get up,
get on up.
We're going to find out the latest internet troll to suggest that the Christmas Story movie is garbage coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, Let's open up those telephone lines, shall we? For you, if you want to go to both nights of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 this weekend at the Forum, we're talking about floor seats for both nights.
Great seats. These are right in front of you will be the musicians that you love.
That is how it works.
And muggos.
When you're on the, and muggos. I don't think, I know people are intimidated, obviously, to A, call K-Rock, and B, be on the air, and C, try to sing or rap their way in. But this doesn't have to be difficult. I mean, despite being broke, I still want to go to the show. I mean, it's really as simple as that, right?
That was
I wouldn't win, but I'm just saying. That was just off the top of my head.
Where's the stage again? Where's the stage again?
See? You can do it. So it could be a parody. It could be an original. It could be a rap. We just want to hear from you. It's time for Kevin and Bean Fan Songs. Call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. Someone is going to win tickets to both nights on the floor for the shows this weekend. So call now. Put you on hold for a couple minutes and then get you right on the air. All right, Allie, what's this hot take that is that's destroying America?
Listen, this is a writer for Yahoo Entertainment. Her name is Gwen Watkins, and I mean, I'll just let her tell you.
No, I want an official red under carbon ice and 200 jet range by the laser rifle.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
When A Christmas Story opened in theaters on November 18th, 1983, it was not one of the year's biggest films. Years later, that little movie looms large. You can buy leg lamps at any price point, tour Ralphie's actual house, watch the Broadway musical adaptation, and of course, spend 24 hours in front of the TV watching the annual Christmas Story Marathon. If you're a proud leg lamp-owning marathon watcher, I'm happy this movie makes you happy. But I'm here to tell you why A Christmas Story, despite its title, is a terrible Christmas movie.
Imagine being stuck next to this woman on an airplane.
Oh, she's going to tell you why everything you love is hateable. Here are my reasons.
Now, I may have to recuse myself on this conversation because I am late to the Christmas Story game. In fact, I don't think I saw it ever for the first time until a couple of years ago.
Really?
And it was just because I felt like it was time. You know, I shouldn't go through my life without seeing that movie. And I thought it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay, but you've seen it.
I've seen it now, and I enjoy it. I don't need it, but I have nothing against it. I thought it was a very well done, clever movie. Now, what can her possible complaint be about?
Well, she has five very specific reasons, and we're going to go through them. The first is she says A Christmas Story is all about consumerism.
Christmas is about Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah. She says most classic Christmas movies embrace the idea that Christmas means goodwill to all. Well, that's all well and good, but the premise of the movie is the kid wants his Red Ryder BB gun.
Also, Gwen, you moron. Yeah. The end of the movie, the dogs take all... I mean, it's not even a spoiler. The dogs ruin their Christmas dinner, and so the family goes out and eats at a restaurant, and it's this beautiful moment where a family who's had pretty bad luck throughout the whole movie gets together and still has the tradition of being with loved ones. Like, there is a message in this, you stupid moron, you troll, you Twitter egg.
Jensen is having none of it.
This movie's a national treasure.
I totally agree. So Christmas being all about consumerism, newsflash, it absolutely is.
What about the great Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Search for the Turbo Man toy? I mean, that was about consumerism.
Jingle all the way, right? I call that a Sinbad movie, but yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, here's where she just loses me completely. Not like I was on board at all, but A Christmas Story is not especially about Christmas. Yes, it's set during the Christmas season, but mostly, then she goes on to say there's basically no plot, and she says... What it's all about? Well, a major theme is children in pain.
Idiot.
What? Are you because a kid licked a flagpole and got stuck there? That happened all the time because kids would dare each other and double dog ear dare you, and your tongue gets stuck to a flagpole.
Yeah.
By the way, that happened in the last 3 days in America. I don't know if you saw that.
It just happened.
It always happens.
Yes.
It was a TV movie, by the way, originally. It was aired on TV to start. And one of the reasons it doesn't have a plot, it does have a plot, it's just in chapters because it's a book.
Right.
It's a book. Read a book, Gwen.
Okay.
By the way, aren't there, there are a lot of people who poo-poo Christmas movies that aren't really Christmas movies.
Yeah, like Die Hard.
Like Die Hard is a perfect example. It's a Wonderful Life is not a Christmas movie either, by the way. It just happens to have a climactic last scene set at Christmas.
The ultimate Christmas movie. It is set during Christmas, and it's all about what he wants for Christmas.
Yeah. You see a Santa in it.
He goes to see Santa.
Yeah, at Macy's.
Right? What is the... I always wanted to go to a Santa that had that slide.
Yeah, so it was cool. You got to see it. As an L.A. kid, I got to see it in Christmas Story. I was like, man, that is awesome.
Absolutely.
All right, so far you want Gwen in a grave.
Absolutely. Yes. Here's where she says, A Christmas Story has no Christmas spirit. The holiday spirit is about lowering defenses, being kind, feeling joy, and allowing yourself to believe, even for one night, that the world is good. A Christmas Story is about children in pain, making fun of people who are different, and learning that life is a series of crushing disappointments. Well, life is a series of crushing disappointments, Gwen. It doesn't matter if it's set during the summer or during Easter or during Christmas.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's not a movie about children in pain.
No.
What movie did she watch?
I mean, she seems to be referencing A Christmas Story. I think that was her takeaway from this film.
The kid got his tongue stuck to a flagpole.
This woman would say Forrest Gump is about running.
Or chocolate.
Or chocolate.
Right?
Yeah, it's so stupid.
All right. I just can't. The movie wants us to laugh at the misery of its characters.
Yes!
That's the point.
That's why I like it.
Because you're laughing at the kid that got his tongue stuck to the flagpole because it's funny. And you know what I learned from the movie? Not to stick my tongue to a flagpole.
Sure. Yeah.
You also laugh at his little brother that gets dressed up like anyone that lived in cold weather by your mother in 400 layers and he can't put my arms down.
It's great.
That's something you laugh at because you can relate to it.
By the way, the kids don't die. It's not Schindler's List.
Yeah.
No,
so she would hate Home Alone because the kid got left behind when the parents went on vacation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that would ruin the whole movie for her.
And adults got injured.
Exactly.
Right. All right. So we're saying that is not a hot take. Right?
Let me just tell you the worst one.
Okay.
A Christmas Story is nostalgic for all the wrong things. Ralphie is looking back on this story where his mom didn't get everything she wanted because it's the 1940s and no woman did. And the dad is angry all the time. And all he could do was beat up a guy and get a gun. What is wrong with you, woman? We can't go back in time and change women's societal roles in the 1940s. Everybody had an angry dad in the 40s. Hate to break it to you, Gwen. Maybe you didn't.
We had angry dads this year.
That's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, Gwen, stop crapping on things people like. Yeah. It's very easy just to let people live. Except for you. We want you in a...
The hilarious Jonah Ray joins us next hour on K-Rock talking about Mystery Science Theater 3000, among other things, and our friend RJ Bell in Las Vegas talking football. But first, let's do some acoustic fan songs.
Acoustic fan songs. Acoustic fan songs. Acoustic fan songs is on... Christmas show. Acoustic fan songs. Acoustic fan songs. Acoustic fan songs is on. Christmas show. Acoustic fan songs.
Okay.
Acoustic fan songs.
We got it.
Acoustic fan songs is on.
Thank you very
Christmas
much.
Show. Oh.
Right. K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 is this weekend at the Forum. We're inviting you to call now at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for fan songs. Can be originals, can be parodies, can be raps, whatever you like. Now, guys, did we decide we're doing the knockout round, right?
Yes.
So if you're the best person on the phone, then you stay on the phone.
Yeah, it's just one by one. You kind of take on the next opponent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's. Why don't we start with Steven, please. Line 2, Ladera Ranch, to get us going. Steven, you are up first. What are you going to be doing for us here this morning, sir?
I'm going to do my own lyrics today by the Smashing Pumpkins, but I'm warning you, it might be a little scary for you guys.
Okay. Oh. All right. We appreciate the warning. We'll lower the headphones. Let's hear it.
Saturday is the greatest day I've ever known. Can't live for the Sunday. Sunday is much too long. I will scream my lungs out before I get out. I wanted more. I wanted pit pick.
Okay. Second all right. One, okay. Okay. Well, okay. Thank you, Stephen. The good news is currently you are the winner.
Yeah,
currently,
he's still in.
So if the phones blow up and nobody else can get through, you will win the tickets. But there's a risk that the next person can take your crown. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to John Inglewood, line 3 up next. Hey, John.
Hey.
The bar is pretty low. What do you got?
I'm going to raise it. I got a Bastille song because they were the one band I thought I wasn't going to enjoy a couple years ago at Acoustic Christmas, and they blew me away.
Are you in your bathroom right now?
I am, actually. Yes.
I thought so. Okay. Good.
Are you pooping, or are you just in there for the acoustics?
I was going to shower, and then all of a sudden I got through the line, so now I'm not showered.
You naked?
Okay. Oh, you're naked right now?
Almost.
Okay, oh, okay. All right.
Well, believe me, we're going to give you some extra points for that.
We'll take that into consideration.
All right. Let's hear your Bastille, John.
Okay. I was blown away by Bastille's performance. Acoustic Christmas has all the bands with everything to show, and the form kept tumbling down in the city that we love. K-Rock rolls over L.A., bringing greatness from above.
All right, thank you.
I mean, he was just getting into it.
I'm going to say I appreciate the effort that John put in. I'm willing to let Stephen go and say John's our new front runner.
John has the crown.
Okay. All right. Very well done, sir, which means that you still can't get in the shower, poor dude. All right, let's try Shanice. She is also in Inglewood. Hey, Shanice, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Great. What are you going to be performing for us?
I'm going to do a parody of AFI's Miss Murder.
We look forward to hearing it. John is the one to beat. Let's hear Shanice.
Okay. Hey, Kevin and Dean, please let me win these tickets because today is my birthday, please. I tried all week to win, but I just could not get through. I even tried working the venue, but
thank you.
She was really pleading there with the birthday thing. I don't know. I'm sticking with John.
I think I'm with John as well, Shanice, we appreciate you trying. Yeah. I felt a lack of commitment, though. I got to be honest.
I love your smile, though.
No one got that except Theo from The Beat.
Seriously.
Allie, what person who got that joke?
What are you doing? All right. Let's go to Hugo. He's in Riverside Line 7. Hugo, as I understand, has created his own rap. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Hugo.
Yeah, sorry. My friends call me H-Dog. You guys ready?
H-Dog, we're ready. Okay. Sure.
Confidence. All right. Yo, trying to go to Almost Acoustic. Yeah, that'll be just too sick. Excited to see 30 Seconds to Mars. Any single ladies at the bars? Yeah, I'm a stoner. That Florence chick, I'd bone her. Cause you got beer mug as a nag. No, that lineup is hella stacked. H-Dog, out.
Jensen, you're our rap correspondent. What's your ranking of H-Dog here?
Not high.
No?
But
are you still Team John, or you think he takes the lead now?
I'm going to go Team Hugo.
Oh, Hugo! Yes. So Allie, you agree?
So it's not a no for you, H-Dog.
No, not Pitchy Dog.
All right.
All right, I'm sorry, okay. John. You just got bested by H-Dog. He is currently in the lead.
H-Dog!
We got time for a couple more. Let's try Cassie. She's on line 5. She's joining us from Los Angeles today. Boy, a lot of competition all of a sudden here, Cassie. Yeah. Mm. We're heating up here. What are you going to do for us?
Okay, well, Greta Van Fleet is my favorite band on earth. I got to team with the Sound Space, so I want to do a little Highway Tune parody.
Oh, they're one of the most anticipated shows of Night One. I can't wait to see Greta Van Fleet. Let's hear you do it.
Me too. Okay. Okay, Rock. To go to Christmas, I never miss just one. But for these four sides, I will be a fan song. They'll be my special. They'll be my four seats. I love you, K-Rock, all my life. They're so sweet.
She came with thank you very much. She came with phenomenal enthusiasm, but I think that's all I got out of that. She was trying hard, but I don't think the material was there. What do you guys think?
You're still H-Dog.
Yeah.
I think I'm still Team H-Dog. Okay. I'm sorry. All right, let's try Alfredo Lawndale. He's on line 6. He's up next. We're getting very near the end, very near to crowning a winner for both nights on the floor for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Hey, what it do, Kevin and Bean? I'm going to do a parody of Smashing Pumpkins, and this is about me trying to be Color 20.
Okay, I like it. Good luck,
all right. So, even though I call for the Almost Acoustic Christmas show, all I get is a busy tone. Despite all my calls, I can't get through on the phone. Despite all my calls, I can't get through to K-Rock. Will someone at K-Rock please get me some tickets? Despite all my
because I can't get through on the phone.
Okay. All right. You are speaking for a lot of people who have heard the frustration of that dial tone. Guys, it's a make it or break it time here. H-Dog is our current champion, and Les Alfredo overtakes him. What say you?
I got to go H-Dog.
I'm H-Dog all the way, as long as we have metal detectors at the venue, because I'm nervous. He's a gang member. But
Alfredo, I'm so sorry. A very valiant effort. Let's go back to Hugo in Riverside. Hugo.
Hey, what up, party people?
You are the winner, my friend. How do you feel?
Dude, I feel great. I want to thank the people in the studio. I wouldn't be here without you guys. And,
God, I love you.
We made the right choice.
and Jesus, let's give it up for Jesus. Hey, we'll see you this weekend. Thanks for playing fan songs.
Acoustic Fan Songs is on. Christmas show.
Another quick reminder, our man Beer Mug is out on the street. He is in front of the Kevin and Bean Janky van. Actually, he's inside because it's a little rainy in Pasadena today. But at the Del Taco location at 765 North Lake Avenue in Pasadena, go on by and see Beer Mug, see the van, get yourself some delicious Del Taco to get your day started. He's giving away K-Rock t-shirts, and also at the top of every hour, he is giving away tickets to K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. We do ask if you can to swing by with a new unwrapped toy for the Spark of Love Firefighters Drive this year.
Please.
Boy, the listeners have really come out every other day this week, haven't they?
Yeah, they filled up all our boxes yesterday.
Yeah, it's been so impressive to see the turnout, and you know that these toys are needed this year more than ever thanks to all the devastating fires in Southern California. So a new unwrapped toy at that location. Beer Mug will be happy to see you, happy to add it to the pile. Del Taco, 765 North Lake Avenue in Pasadena. He'll be there till a little bit after 9 a.m. All right, Thursday morning, we'll talk football with RJ Bell. Pregame.com Las Vegas coming up next. Allie's here now with what's happening.
Well, MTV Studios have announced that they're working on a reboot of Celebrity Deathmatch.
Oh.
What?
What we've all been waiting for.
Everyone's been waiting for that. If you don't remember it, it was an animated series that pitted two celebrities against each other. Against each other. And one would usually die in a really gruesome death. Sometimes both, you guys, would die in a very gruesome death. The new version will star Ice Cube, who will also executive produce.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Ice Cube's like a TV producer.
No, but who was asking for Celebrity Deathmatch?
No one. If anything, I'm asking for True Life, where someone has to argue about having, like, calf implants. Do you remember that guy?
Yes.
That guy? And then the other guy who, like, was getting married and he got mad at the limo people?
Oh,
like,
in the middle of the street.
I will kill you. I will kill you. I'll find your parents. He, like, so angry.
In, like, a white tux.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's so good. Those people are celebrities to me. Like, I'd meet Obama and be like, nice to meet you. But if I met the guy who got calf implants on True Life, I'd be like, can we live together?
And all of the shots of him, like, looking at himself in the mirror from behind
best.
Oh, that was a great show. True Life.
That's the one I want back. I think they still do it every once in a while, but it's not the same.
Yeah. That was a good show.
Great show.
You guys, Twitter released its annual report about the most tweeted events, people, and entertainment of the year.
Oh,
what
that's
do you
interesting.
Think, what do you think was the most talked about movie of the year?
Black Panther.
You are correct, sir. But then Disney dominated after that, coming in second, third, and fourth. Avengers Infinity War, Incredibles 2, and Star Wars The Last Jedi.
That makes sense.
Not bad.
Do they also reveal sporting events, news events, those sorts of things that people were most active on social media about?
Well, in this, it's only the most talked about TV show, which what do you think that was? Mm. Most tweeted about.
That's a good question.
Most tweeted about television show of 2018. Boy, that's a great question.
The Jamie Kennedy New Year special?
Yes.
People from like 3 years ago?
I'm still tweeting about it.
Is it something we should totally guess?
It's no, I was
super
shocked.
Obvious.
I was shocked.
Oh, you were shocked.
Yeah.
Is it Wildin' Out?
No. It was SNL.
Oh.
So I guess when you think about, you know, all the Trump stuff that they did, that type of thing, that would be why it was first. Followed by Roseanne, Grey's Anatomy, and The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Grey's Anatomy is a shocking one. The people who watched that, I didn't even know they were, young enough to have social media.
How dare you?
Because that show's been on for almost 20 years
now.
How
dare you?
Yeah, SNL totally makes sense. Plus, they have a new host and a new musical guest every week.
Right.
And yeah, there's new viral sketches that come out of it every week. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
All right, what about for music?
I'm going to say Lady Gaga. Maybe I'm wrong because I'm just thinking of all the, what a huge year she had with A Star Is Born.
I'm going to say Beyonce.
BTS. Right. The K-pop group.
Right. We're
then
racist.
Kanye West, Grande, and Beyonce. What?
Well, I'm saying we didn't think of them because we're racist.
I thought you said they're racist. I'm not. BTS.
Good rumor, though. Good rumor.
That is BS.
Jensen, I'm going to ask you this question because I don't remember if you were on the show the last time I brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
I am completely ignorant about K-pop.
Yes.
Completely. And I know that it's enormously popular, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are really into some of these groups.
Mm-hmm.
Why do all of the bands have so many members?
Yeah,
why are there like 11 guys in BTS?
Yeah, I've never they're like the Wu-Tang Clan. I've never understood that. I don't know why you can't just have four dudes like it's 98 degrees.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we think about our Backstreet Boys and our NSYNCs and our New Kids and bands like that, and usually it's, five guys. It's about as much. Spice Girls, that's about as high as you go. I don't understand why some of them look like, like group reunion, family reunions or something. There's so many people in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know
Keep
either.
Going. Getting into some real.
I don't understand why any band, unless you're like, you have a horn section and you have percussionists.
Yeah.
But when I see these videos of like BTS, none of them are playing instruments.
Yeah. If there's 11 people in your band, you better be doing ska.
Yeah.
You know, you should be real big fish.
You are real upset about this meme.
Yeah. I am.
I love
because
it.
I don't understand it, because I haven't taken the time to figure out what everybody does. It just looks like too many people. Like, why would you decrease your payroll that much by having so many superfluous dudes?
And if you have 12 of them, 8 of them, I guarantee you, are Joey Fatones. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you can only have one or two Timberlakes.
True.
Yeah, you could lose them and keep the sound and make more money for everybody. I don't like it.
Which brings me to Justin Timberlake.
All right.
Thank you so much, Jensen.
Welcome.
He's postponed another show on his Man of the Woods tour.
Oh, give it up, Justin.
This is at tonight's show at Oracle Arena. Here's the thing that's interesting. Live Nation immediately announced a rescheduled date. You know they're just sitting there like, which one is he canceling? All right, plug it in here. So that one will be March 15th, same venue. So far we've got Buffalo, Tacoma, LA, a few shows. Phoenix, Vegas, Fresno, Portland, Oakland. So finally, Justin just said, he came out on his social media, you know what, I'm just going to postpone all dates in December. Really? You should have done this back in October, and you have bruised vocal cords.
Yeah.
You don't just a couple days go, let's try this again, see if they're unbruised. You mm-hmm. need some time.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned that he will never be able to sing the way, let's be honest, I'm not, but I'm
concerned
bothered.
For him.
Yeah, I'm bothered that this might really affect him if he keeps pushing it. So stop it, Justin. We need you safe.
Join a band with 15 other Asian dudes.
If there you go.
And then blend in.
Join a K-pop band. Yeah. That would be best for everyone. But I'm glad he's finally saying, all right, let's just skip December. That's good.
You think he talks to Chris Kirkpatrick still?
I bet.
He
I bet like whenever he sees an Elastic, he thinks about him and just texts him.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Do you think that each member of NSYNC still has Justin Timberlake's current cell phone number?
I guarantee you there have been times they've texted and it goes green. Like, I guarantee they don't have updated, and then they'll email him and he'll be like, oh, I changed my number. But he doesn't alert his NSYNC friends.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Beyonce would give her number to Michelle and Kelly.
Well, to Kelly.
Oh, not Michelle.
Yeah, no.
Are they on the outs again?
No, I'm just saying. She was like, would she ever really?
Yeah, expendable.
Yeah. I could be in Destiny's Child. No one would know.
All right.
Michelle has a flip phone.
Some birthdays for you. Guitarist from REM, Peter Buck, and Judd Apatow. And that's
Thursday, about this time every week, it's one of our favorite guests. It's RJ Bell. Hit it, Steve.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and he knows about stuff when it comes to sports, when it comes to gambling, and he has had a winning record on this show. This is what, the fourth or fifth season in a row, RJ?
Fifth season, baby.
Fifth season. Last week, a little bit of a bump. You did go 1-2. I know the NFL still has the capacity to surprise you.
Oh, that Steelers game, man. Ooh, we had Pittsburgh. That was a tough one Sunday night.
That was a great one for Chargers fans, though. Boy, you couldn't have more opportunities to kick that winning field goal, could you?
but here's the thing you need to know. If you're betting, you can't care about your local team. It's all about the pocketbook.
That does make sense. All right, let's take a look at this week's games. The big dog is the Oakland Raiders plus 10.5 hosting those Pittsburgh Steelers you just referred to. I feel like, and I could be wrong, I have no stats to back this up, I feel like we have had more double-digit games in terms of the spread this season than I can ever remember before, RJ.
You know, actually, I think, I don't know about the most, but it's certainly more than usual. And what's been happening oftentimes is these big favorites have been winning the game and covering the spread. And here's the rationale. They're so good passing the ball. The Rams, for example, are a great example. The Saints, that they end up running up the score oftentimes. Pittsburgh, though, especially with their running back. So obviously Le'Veon Bell was supposed to be their back. He never even came into the team. Contract dispute. Then they had James Conner, who did pretty well. He's out. Now they're down to a third string back. So I think the Steelers in general on the road struggle. They struggle even more as a big favorite on the road. And you got a Raiders team that's not good, but they are playing hard for John Gruden. So our first pick, the big dog, Raiders plus 10.5.
I was wondering also, just to go back to my prior point, is there less parity than there used to be in the NFL? Because now we do have a superstar stratum of teams right now, like the Rams, like the Chargers, like the Patriots, like the Saints. And then we have some middle of the road, you know, middle of the pack teams, I should say. And then a ton of horrible teams at the bottom. It feels like, you know, not everybody's on a level playing field anymore.
You know what I think it is? I think back even a couple years ago, the spectrum of teams were how good you were to how bad you were. Okay, that makes sense. Now, though, there's a handful of teams that are playing a more modern game. And to me, when you play that modern game, and again, the Rams are an example of it, with all the passing and the complex offenses, if you're good at that, you're just in a different level. Think about it. The Rams have lost a handful of games this year, and they've usually scored 30-plus even in the games they lose. Yeah. So when the Rams have a bad game, they still put up a bunch of points. That did not used to be like that, and it's still not like that with a lot of NFL teams.
Fair point. All right, your best bet for the weekend is the Indianapolis Colts, plus 5 at the Houston Texans?
Yeah, I love this game. One of my favorite games of the year. No locks, but one of my favorites. Texans have been lucky. And what do I mean by that? Is they've had about 5 coin flip games that could have went either way, and they're 5-0. Sometimes you flip 5 straight heads, but it makes their record, the Texans, inflated. Here's a great trend. Teams on a 9-plus game winning streak, and Houston is on a 9-game winning streak. The next game against the spread, 36%. Why? Because they get expensive. Everybody says, oh, look how many games they've won. They bet them. They get expensive. We like to go the other way. On the other hand, the Colts, they have been playing really well. They were shut out last week. Andrew Luck, when teams are shut out the week before the next game, 58%. Why? Because they get cheap. So we've got an expensive team. We got a cheap team. I'll go with the cheap team. Colts, best bet, plus 5.
Are you enough of a football fan that you can enjoy a 6-0 game, or is that too much defense for you to enjoy it?
It matters which side I bet.
I was going to say, there's no way RJ Bell watches games for the pure enjoyment of football.
That's true. Hey, he's lost that years ago.
Yeah.
All right, and the big game of the weekend is the Baltimore Ravens. They're in Kansas City playing those Chiefs. What do you think?
Remember, guys, when you lose innocence, we all lose, right? So you should feel a little empathy for me and my lost innocence. We're going with the Ravens here, plus 7. Now, here's the conversation with the Ravens. Lamar Jackson won the Heisman in college, but he's not a prototypical passer. He runs the ball super effectively. And now that he's been a starter, the Ravens have won 3 straight games. But everybody's saying, is this sustainable? Can he keep running and not get injured? You know something? I don't really care, because he only needs to not get injured this game. So I think this ability to – I care on a human level, right?
Yeah, but for this pick, RJ Bell.
Yeah, I hear you. So I think he's going to be healthy this game. And, oh, by the way, Kansas City won the Kareem Hunt distraction, obviously, on the field and off the field.
Right, and well, it is a distraction for the other players.
What are you, the commissioner?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. What I mean is for the team, if we're looking at them to play well this week, they've got other things on their mind, right? And on the other hand, we've got the worst run defense, Kansas City, in the NFL. Well, we know what the Ravens want to do. They want to run. Ravens plus a touchdown.
All right, so recapping this week's picks from RJ Bell, pregame.com. The big dog, Raiders plus 10.5 hosting Pittsburgh. Best bet is Indy plus 5 at Houston. Big game, Ravens plus 7 at Kansas City. Hey, before we let you go, RJ, since we have about a minute left, Kevin is out sick today, but we were having a conversation off the air of something we wanted to ask you, and I hate to put you on the spot. What's this talk about being able to bet on the next basketball throw during a game? That's something that's gearing up where we're actually going to be able to bet on whether this dude hits a free throw next.
Absolutely. So it's called in-game betting. And the reason, if you look at Europe, for example, which is about 10 years ahead of us when it comes to sports betting, over 70% of the bets are made in-game.
Wow.
And think about how if you just had a television set, let's say your Roku, and up in the corner it had your name, it had your balance, and it said, will LeBron make the next two free throws? And it's even money. You press A, and you've just bet $20 on the yes. That is no doubt this is the best bet of the year. That's where we are heading.
Oh, there's definitely nothing problematic about
no
that
downside.
At all. No. I would not have been able to go to college if that was around.
That's like you said, oh, the pizza's too good, so we're all going to get fat, right?
Oh,
personal responsibility.
Is this going to come to all sports? Can you, like, bet on whether a guy is going to foul off the next pitch in a Major League Baseball game?
The whole question is latency, right? How quickly? So especially the sports that have breaks, like football, where you've got 20 or so seconds between plays, you're going to be able to bet every play, and you are in some spots. Basketball, it's only going to be when there's stoppage, but remember, there's stoppage all the time. So in soccer, again, in Europe is the key, and they do this in soccer. Every second of the game, there's something you can bet.
That is amazing. All right, I'm sure you talk about that on Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell, weekdays 3 to 4 on Fox Sports Radio, the number one national sports betting show. RJ has a dream preview podcast on iTunes. It covers both college football and NFL episodes each week. And, of course, pregame.com for all the games we talked about today and more on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Thank you.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
LANOC's alternative rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. There were two weird things that involved the Kevin and Bean show yesterday that I saw on social media. One was, hey, Jonah Ray, by the way, first of all.
What a terrible introduction.
I'm not done yet, but I just wanted to acknowledge that you were here.
Oh, right, you're not here?
One was William Shatner tweeted. Did you guys see this? William Shatner tweeted his fans to get them to start a campaign to contact the Kevin and Bean Show about playing selections from his Christmas album.
We did. Does he not know we did?
I don't know if he did. I hope he didn't hear it. I hope he didn't hear us reviewing his new Christmas album.
No, he would not be tweeting about it.
Right. So Bill wants us to start playing some of his Christmas album. Jody, you got to hear this.
Who demands that you play specific songs before appearances?
Jonah Ray does, and William Shatner, two of the same type
and
of person.
Jonah Ray was the other one who said, I'm going on Kevin and Bean tomorrow. I'm going to talk him into playing some Minor Threat. So somebody was really working on our playlist yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow.
What would you rather hear, K-Rock listeners?
Jonah,
a mashup of Minor Threat and William Shatner.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear you start us off by singing a little bit of Guilty of Being White. Why don't you?
I don't think this is the environment for me to be singing that song.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
When you say you were a punk rocker back in the Hawaii days,
mm-hmm.
how deep into punk rock were you? Were you in a band?
Yeah, I was in lots of bands. I was in a band. First band I got into was called G.O.D., which stood for God Our Dictator.
Whoa, deep.
Yeah, and then I was in a band called the Year Outs, which was us making fun of our friend's band, the Cartmans. Because our friend in the Cartmans was always, he's like, if you don't show up to breakfast on time, that's it, you're out. You can't play those songs right, you're out. So we became the Year Outs. Everyone that was kicked out of the Cartmans was our band.
Awesome.
Yeah, then I played in a band called 36 Chambers, which we named ourselves because we're into kung fu movies. And then, of course, Wu-Tang kind of made that a little more popular. Than
so they stole from you.
They stole from us. Mm-hmm. And then Quarterhead, yeah.
Did you give up on your music dreams at some point when you discovered comedy?
Yeah, well, it's like I moved out to Los Angeles, and I moved down to San Pedro, and I was like hanging with a lot of the people from, you know, Recess Records and, you know, the Toys That Kill and FYP guys, and I tried to join bands, and I roadied for a couple bands, and I played with this one band I joined called Science and the Lab Rats, and there was a guy who was the main dude in it, called himself Science. And he dressed like in, you know, fishnet tight, like, you know, shirts, and had like a dominatrix leather cop hat.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounded just like, you know, like the Ramones kind of stuff. But it was the guy was such a weirdo that I quietly just backed away. But now and then years and years. And then I sold my drum set and I was like, I have to pick between, you know, music and comedy. And
yeah.
And now that I'm bored by comedy, I've started playing drums and music again. Now I'm playing in a band with a guy. That plays. He played in the band The Blood Brothers. His name is Cody. And then I play. And another guy in the band is Denver. He was in Bright Eyes and Desaparecidos and stuff like that. So.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
like, legit, so you're stepped up.
You're like yeah. punk rock's Donald Glover.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I will be so much less successful. Yeah.
I'm glad you haven't given up your dreams. I'm glad that 15-year-old Jonah Ray could look at Jonah Ray today and still be proud.
That's all I do.
That's the best thing about Jonah Ray. And I feel like we've been friends for a long time. Yeah. And I think we share that, which is that so much of your childhood inspiration is still your career. So much so that you are the star of one of your favorite television shows from your childhood.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts to like, and I think that's important. It's like, you know, be inspired by your young self. And I think we talked about this a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it's the idea of just like, even in, be inspired, but also just like show them how it's done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I look at old pictures of myself and I go, you idiot. You don't know what to do. I'm going to show you how to live a life.
Yeah. When we last had you in, you were trying to wrap your head around the fact that you were hosting Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah.
Have you wrapped your head around it?
If I think about it too much, I kind of get overwhelmed and emotional, and I try not to do that. It's just so odd that it's like literally a thing that I wanted to do as a kid, and
so
a lot of this career, like when you get into a comedy career and any career in entertainment, you experience versions of what you wanted, mm-hmm. and those can be just as good or better, you know. But like it's always like, oh, I wanted to do this, but it's not exactly that.
Yeah.
And with this, it's like literally like a 1-to-1. You know, comparison.
Absolutely.
I got to do the thing.
And it's like growing up wanting to be president, and then you are the president.
Which but I think better. I have a shot at.
Yeah, you're still still in the running there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So there are people out there who are now growing up watching you, and you to them is what Joel was to you then. Which has got to be the weirdest thing in the world. Because when you meet those fans now who are as enamored of you as you would have been to meet Joel as a kid, it must blow your mind again.
I feel sorry for him.
you should watch Joel. It's really
good. Exactly. I was like, watch Joel, watch Mike. I mean, it's, and it's another thing I try not to think about too much. It's, I hope that I can, you know, provide them as much like comfort and laughs as like those guys provided for me. But you never know, you know. You can't really like, you know, predict how people are going to be.
Zero ego. Yeah. It's almost to the point
where. I was
going to
say confidence, but sure. Either one works.
I just meant so humble.
Yes.
Yeah.
You shared a sweet story online this week that I want to ask you to repeat for our listeners because we're all such huge Patton fans. And he's, you know, he's one of your evil henchmen on Mystery Science Theater 3000. You go back a long way with Patton as a fan of his, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was a huge fan of his. You know, like as I started seeing him pop up on, you know, Conan and just Comedy Central shows and stuff like that. And especially when I started doing comedy in 2002 at the M-Bar scene, which would go on to become Comedy Death Ray, Comedy Bang Bang. And so, yeah, I've been like a huge fan of his for a very long time. And it's when I was starting to do comedy, I was also working at the Arclight Movie Theater.
Yes, that's
in Hollywood. And, you know, it was always kind of funny because I'd go out and do these shows with like Sarah Silverman and Patton Oswalt and people like that. And then I would, you know, the next day be like taking their ticket or making them popcorn.
I
remember one time I was introducing a movie at the Dome. That's what you have to do at that theater. You introduce the movie. And I remember Sarah Silverman stood up and she's like, hey, Jonah, you stink. And then made a real loud fart noise. Patton was at the cafe at the theater, you know, having lunch with someone. And he saw me and he waved me over and he introduced me to his friend and said, hey, this is Jonah. He's a very funny comedian. And, you know, when you're an older comic and you kind of do something like that, even though it's so slight and it doesn't take a lot of energy and like, but like it means so much to that
Absolutely.
Person. It's so huge. And it's like one of those things where when you're a younger person trying to get into, you know, the scene, it's like, it, like, you have to take these small little moments and then you blow them up in your head and you go, it is working. It is, like, going to be okay.
I've been endorsed, right?
Yeah.
Then you sold those shirts for, like, 5 years. It said, great comedian, Jonah Ray, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't know if he did it for that reason.
Yeah, but. And on the bag, it was just like, now I got to get back to making the caramel corn.
And you thought that Patton was just looking for a refill at his coffee or something when he waved you over, so that was a real
bonus. That was probably it. Then he recognized me too late. He's like, oh, hey.
Oh, yeah, this guy, yeah. All right, last question. We have to take a break with Jonah. We'll come back and talk more about Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix. But that is, when you would stand up to introduce the movie like they do with the arc light and you point out the, you know, the exits and you talk about the trash and turn off your phone and all that, did you try to work in some comedy too since you were an aspiring comedian? Did you, like, make that part of the act?
Never.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
I never. I'm
so proud of you, Jonah.
I saw someone do that the first time I went to that theater and I was like, what is this? Why are they doing this?
Captive audience.
And I didn't want to do it when I started working there. And then when I realized that's all you had to do on that shift was just introduce movies, I was like, all right, what's the minimum of what you have to say?
Right.
Oh, the name of the movie, where the exits are, if there's any problems, we'll be off to the side. That's it. And they're like, yeah. So if you go to those theaters and you see someone doing anything else, the running time, no need.
No.
They don't know. It's like who's in it? Not necessary.
Hashtag.
If you see, you hear him saying anything else, that's just them chewing the scenery.
Yeah. So the dude that said his SoundCloud... He shouldn't have done that.
No.
Someone should have stood up and been like, Jonah, you suck.
Yeah. What is, like, it's like the guy is like, check out my SoundCloud. http://. I need you to get your phones out.
All right. Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Gauntlet, is the new season. Just dropped this week, I want to say, or last week maybe, on Netflix. Jonah Ray is the host, and he's our guest. And we'll return with more right after this on K-Rock. Jonah Ray, our guest in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, who you know and love from perhaps The Meltdown with Mail.
Yeah, what's that guy up to? I haven't heard from him in
Nerdist
comedy.
Nerdist Podcast.
No, he's okay. He's doing all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, he was nominated but did not win for his Academy Award?
Him and Emily V. Gordon, who they co-wrote The Big Sick together. Yeah, they were nominated but lost to Jordan Peele.
Yeah. Was he insufferable when he was walking around for those months as an Oscar-nominated screenwriter?
No, you know what's really crazy about that is that, like, if that whole time in their lives, it just humanized them so much more, where, you know, that old saying, it's like, you know, fame doesn't change you, it just reveals who you are. It's you know, it turns out Emily and Kumail are just, like, the sweetest, most grounded people.
Aww.
Where they kind of were really tired of that whole process of doing that stuff, and they were you know, really sweet people during that process.
For
and
sure.
They were tired all the time.
Yeah, they rule.
Do you
Back to me.
Do you watch a lot of movies, Jonah? Is that something you're into?
Yeah. Like The Big Sick?
Yes, I love The Big Sick. I'm really excited for Stuber coming out next year. Fist Fight is a great Kumail Nanjiani joint.
You're going to get into that Twilight Zone over at CBS?
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to subscribe to yet another platform to watch my friend who won't send me links.
Really great X-Files that he did.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Golden Globe-nominated movies today, and a bunch of them have not come out yet. But Jensen was saying he thinks this year on television was even better than this year in the movies.
I do.
Oh, you do? Do
I
you?
Do. And this is a guy who was at the Arclight forever. What was your movie, your favorite movie on your name tag?
It was Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey. And so, but it would only say Homeward Bound on it. And then people would go, is Homeward Bound really your favorite movie? And I would say, well, it is an incredible journey.
How much thought went into picking the favorite movie?
Not at all. Like, it's,
really?
You write it down when you're, like, filling out your application.
Right.
So it's just like, favorite movie. And I was just like, you know, to myself in this room, like, I'm like, Homeward Bound. I'm so funny. And I didn't know they put him on the name tag.
That's amazing.
And I remember there was one dude I worked with who had Blade Trinity on his, and it hadn't come out. Everyone's like, why? How is your movie? And he's like, because I'm in it.
Like, oh, nice. No one can argue with him.
No.
Yeah.
Jonah, tell us about the day you took the camera down to the superheroes that hang out in Hollywood to shoot a little promo video for MST.
Well, me and my friend Neil Mahoney, who
I love,
great dear friend, and we do our podcast Jonah Radio together along with Cash. There's not a lot of promotion behind Mystery Science Theater 3000, and that's okay. That's kind of the way it's always been, and I'm a DIY guy, so I decided to make my own promo by getting into the jumpsuit and then going down to, you know, the Chinese theater and taking pictures with other people dressed up, and mostly people thought I was my own Ghostbuster. And
a lone Ghostbuster.
No proton pack. It's you having a smoke break at the fire.
Real bad Ghostbuster.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's yellow, and they're like, "Is that?" It was a weird scene, and I actually kind of felt scared. Paul F. Tompkins has a great stand-up routine about like how a guy who would go and dress up as Freddy Krueger actually had knives on the glove for the outfit, and then when some guy tried to get in his space, it turns out the knives were real, so he stabbed the other guy with his finger knives. And so I was out there going like, it's like, this is these people's livelihood.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't want to feel like I was judging it. I just thought it was a funny thing to do, to utilize the lack of promotion and my low self-esteem simultaneously to make some good internet content.
Well, the video was very funny because obviously nobody had a clue who you were, but there must have been something you didn't put in the video of at least one fan who was stoked to meet you.
None.
Lies.
No.
Really?
Nobody. It's not like, it's like, I'm not famous.
It's not that. I'll defend this.
Okay.
People who would be into Mystery Science Theater are not on Hollywood and Hollywood.
Absolutely.
They're the people who avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
Very good
so
point.
So you do not have your audience there.
That's true. That's true. Maybe I stack the deck against my favor, which is something I do in life.
Don't go to like City Walk next.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Pick somewhere outside of maybe Amoeba like we brought up.
Yeah.
The Arclight. Both those places people will know who Joan.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen.
When you got together in the writer's room, I assume, to start plotting this this latest season of Mystery Science Theater 3000, how do you reinvent a show that's been on for so long? Or do you not even try? You just go, hey, we just got to do more of what we do and just do it better.
Yeah, that's, you know, Joel Hodgson, the creator, he really, you know, wanted to kind of keep within the spirit. There's not much you can do to change the idea that, like, you know, it's a joke machine show. You know, you just got to get to the riffs and the movies, and you got to kind of have fun with everything else. And so there's not much you could change. Where, you know, if you really look at SNL, it's essentially the same show, and they just kind of, you know, cycle through different people making it. And so that's kind of what it was. We didn't want to stretch it too far one way or the other. A really cool element of this new season, though, is we had Rob Schraub, who's an incredible director.
Yeah, he came up with Sarah Silverman, right?
Yeah, came up with Sarah Silverman. He directed the Sarah Silverman program. He was him and Dan Harmon, who went on to create Rick and Morty with Justin Roiland. It's like, he's this guy that has an amazing visual eye, and he really brought a ton of energy to the new season. And so that's like, that really, I felt, pushed it.
For as long as these episodes take, just not only the research to begin, but the shooting and everything, when you started getting those tweets 7 hours after the launch, watch the gauntlet, when's the next ones, were you like, please let me have a break? Let me relax just for a minute.
I would say that if I didn't need the work.
Okay.
I want
Got
them
it.
To
Got
start it.
It
up
yes.
immediately. But I did just get back from, we did a live tour, and you know, that was really long and tough, and just that was seeing the same movies over and over again every night, which was terrible. But at the same time, like, it's like, I like doing this, and I would love to keep on doing it as much as possible.
And you got to tour with your wife.
I got to tour with my wife, Deanna Rooney, she's in the new season.
Amazing.
Yeah, Dr. Donna St. Clives. So it's it was great. It was really, really, really cool.
Well, I'm the one who keeps tweeting them for new Bing commercials.
Yes.
Yes.
My
Demand
legacy.
It.
The real true Jonah Ray legacy.
Hey, it's you know what was so funny? There was a guy on Twitter who was like, hey, man, I really love the new season of MST3K. Been a fan since the Bing days. And I was like, who sees a guy in a commercial for
a fan
search
of
engine?
I
like this dude. I like how he said you're a Bing man.
I'm going to follow this guy's career.
And how they think that I vouch for it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's called money.
I've only seen two of the six, Jonah, but Atlantic Rim is one of my favorite episodes I've ever seen.
Oh, wow. Thanks. That one was real tough. That's because that's a new movie. That's the newest movie MST's ever done. And it's an asylum movie, which is what they call mockbusters.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are not good movies.
Well, like you said, it's Pacific Rim with, what did you say, like a millionth of the budget and even less of the talent or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy how bad it is.
It's real bad. And two of the people that are in the movie reached out to me, and they were just like, they're like, yes, we're sorry. We're so sorry about this movie.
Oh, yeah. That's so sad.
It's crazy how hot the women scientists are in Atlantic Rim, though.
isn't it?
I don't know, man. I don't think of that stuff. I don't look at a movie looking for hot scientist ladies.
Well, you're watching movies wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone knows there's no hot scientist ladies.
Can't be smart and hot at the same time.
Impossible.
Yeah. That's what Jensen's always said all the time. Jensen,
yeah,
right?
That was what I lived by. Yes. My motto.
That's what I've heard.
Time, yeah.
So if there's the season is being tremendously well reviewed, as I know, because you're an egomaniac and you read your own press. But the only complaint is that it's only 6 episodes. That's the only thing that people are hurting for. And that's good news, though, because that means you'll come back sooner and do more movies before you know it, right?
Ideally, yeah. I mean, I'd love to keep on making these and, keep on doing it, which would be
great. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. You do a great job. All right,
Thank you.
Let you go, anything fun for the holidays? You going anywhere? Doing anything fun?
No. The only thing I got planned for the next month or so is me and Zach from he's the singer
Efron.
For no.
Galifianakis.
No. Okay. He's from the band Fiddlar.
We love Fiddlar.
So Zach and I are getting together, and he's going to produce. I'm going to do an EP of Weird Al covers.
How did you not lead with this, Ravine?
Do you want to do another segment with him?
Oh, my God. Okay, wait. Weird Al covers with him from Fiddlar?
With Zach from Fiddlar.
And so I don't understand. Is it going to be of his original music?
I'm using his lyrics and then redoing my own music to some of his lyrics from some of the parodies. But I'm doing Dare to be Stupid, but with
parody Inception.
Yeah, it's just a dumb thing I've been doing, and then Zach is he's like, let's record these and just kind of put it out. And it's my friend Chantel Claret, she gave me the title of it, which is You Can't Call Me Al.
Amazing. Yeah. Chantel, hero.
Is this breaking news right now, Jonah?
This is the first time I've mentioned it out loud. So
let's
give him a round of applause for that, by the way.
What a scoop.
All right, when you get that one done, please come back and see us. All right, we can't wait to hear all about it.
I want to be here all the time.
You can't call me Al.
I think he's trying to take my gig.
No,
I think he could have your gig.
Oh, rats.
Mystery Science Theater 3000: The Gauntlet, now available on Netflix. Please enjoy. You guys remember the Jonah Ray times? Hello.
I'm sorry.
Can nobody hear me?
We hear you.
They were.
What's happening?
I don't know. This is all chaos.
What are you guys doing?
We're
doing a radio show.
I was still trying to figure out the weather alerts.
Allie, what are you doing?
I had taken my earphones off, and then they got totally tangled, so I was trying to untangle them and then put it in one ear, and then it was in the wrong ear, so I had to put it in the right ear.
Everything's
a mess.
It's a lot!
We have to start doing things that make us look like we've got our act together here, because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
I'm sorry.
It's the rain. It messes with everyone.
It's the rain.
I'm trying to do a radio show here. I can't get my own people on the team to listen to it.
You're so right.
I am by myself here. All right. More tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 that you can win in moments. Don't forget, you still got a few minutes to swing on by the Del Taco in Pasadena. Beer Mug is going to be there for about the next half hour or so, 765 North Lake Avenue. Please stop by with a new unwrapped toy to donate to the Spark of Love Toy Drive. We are doing that every day this week. Thanks again to Del Taco for the help. Allie is here now. Time for What's Happening on a Thursday.
You guys, big friend of K-Rock, really good friend of Kat Corbett's as well, Matt Pinfield. We all remember him from MTV.
Sure.
And my God, his music knowledge is just insanity.
Or the USA show Farm Club.
Oh, that one
as
well.
Right. He was the host.
Just dropping knowledge all over TRL.
He was Uncle Fester in the last Adam's Family movie, if you recall.
He was
Raul Julia.
Yeah, he was Marlon Brando's stand-in in Apocalypse Now.
I swear to God, once I read the story, you're going to be kind of sad you're saying it.
And he's also the current president of the UFC.
He is. Not Dana White, but what he is lucky to be alive.
Oh,
yeah. He's recovering in a hospital. He was hit by a car on Monday night, resulting in major surgeries. So he was treated for a leg broken in a couple places, lacerations to his head, required stitches. He is thankfully in stable condition. He's going to begin physical therapy at some point. But his friend wound up sending out a picture saying, Matt's going to be okay.
and he's smiling and eating, and he looks to be doing okay, which is wonderful, because that noggin has so much music information in it that if it was jostled just a little bit, concerned.
If he passed away, God forbid, who would know what Incubus's first name in high school was? You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Like, who would know that kind of stuff?
He's a bastion of knowledge. It's insanity.
A friend, Brian Lynch, who writes the Minions movies, tweeted, "I love Matt Pinfield, and I'm so sorry this happened, and I'm glad to hear he's on the mend, but he probably instantly knew the make and model of the car that hit him and which rock stars had similar cars, and then had a great story about a 90s grunge artist that also got hit by a car."
It's so true. He knows everything.
Yeah. Do we know any of the details about the car accident? Was he like just in a crosswalk or something and a car didn't stop, or what happened?
It says he was hit by a speeding car, and luckily it wasn't a hit and run situation, so they know who hit him. So it's not as bad as it could be.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed. Get better soon, Matt.
Absolutely. You guys, Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh are going to MC the 76th edition of the Golden Globes.
The old Samberg and Oh, the famous comedy team.
Yes, the comedy duo. Yeah, of course, Samberg, no stranger to NBC. He was on SNL for 2005 to 2012. A long time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, his show Brooklyn Nine-Nine was on Fox forever, or like five seasons. And then right after the Golden Globes, that same week, his show is going to air on NBC, where it was moved. So it makes perfect sense for them. And I guess what they saw was Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg had done kind of a back and forth, joking around about the whole Moonlight La La Land fiasco at the following award ceremony. And there was great chemistry. So they thought, that's a good match. Yeah. Let's put them up there.
If it works once, beat it like a dead horse.
Why not?
Yeah.
It worked for 3 hours if it worked for 3 minutes.
Yep. That's the old TV.
I know I'm way too late to come to this realization, because now Kevin Hart is hosting the Academy Awards, mm-hmm. and as you just mentioned, Sandra and Andy are hosting Gold Globes. Did anybody ever think about Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly as the perfect hosts for either of those shows?
I'm sure it came up. They got something
had to
promote,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a movie coming out together. They're really, really good friends. They're both tremendous ad-libbers. That would have been a killer hosting duo.
That was a good one, B.
Yeah, it would have been, except neither of them need to. I think that's the bottom
line. Kevin Hart doesn't need to either, technically.
Yeah. And Will Ferrell seems like a guy who loves putting himself in situations like that. You know what I mean? I mean, he has accepted a lot of weird gigs. He does that Rose Parade gig. He, does college graduations. I mean, he'll go anywhere.
Jeez.
Wow.
Really?
I think you're basically saying he'll do anything.
Like, what I'm saying is Will Ferrell, there's no situation you can put Will Ferrell in where he doesn't shine.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Shows up everywhere. Yeah, he's great in that way.
What about A Deadly Adoption that was on Lifetime? Do you guys remember?
Yeah.
I loved it so much.
Everyone expected it to be funny. You tuned in. It was just a normal Lifetime movie.
It was a straight-up Lifetime movie, him and Kristen Wiig. And everyone was, like, waiting for the joke. There were no jokes. It was a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it so much.
And let's not forget, he made a movie in Spanish, and he doesn't speak Spanish.
Yeah. That's for that.
Right.
That means it's true for 8% of our audience.
We got it.
Because we have a lot of Spanish speakers, except for Dave. Hey, you guys want some birthdays?
Will it get us out of this segment?
Judd Apatow, Peter Buck from REM. Those are two different people. It sounded like I made it just one. Can we start over today?
No, you can't, because we have been on air the whole time.
That's what's happening.
You're listening to the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Shannon Jennings from Chatsworth just won her tickets on the floor for both nights of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas at the Forum this weekend, Saturday and Sunday night. Speaking of Shannon, you think her pizza's ready, you guys?
Oh, God.
Check in.
Shannon! Your pizza is here!
Every time the same joy.
Oh, I love it so much. Hey, what if I told you our good friend Dr. Jupitsky was on the phone?
I'd believe it, because we do it every week.
Dr. Drew!
Hey, it's something that's unchanging every week. How about that?
Yes, mm-hmm. And we appreciate it. I know I tell you this from time to time, but we know how busy you are and that you're on in front of a microphone 23 and a half hours a day, so we appreciate when we get to be one of them. You tweeted out something yesterday that you were doing an interview on seasonal defect. What was it called? Seasonal?
Affective disorder.
Affective disorder. That's a real thing for people who get bluer than blue when the weather starts to change and the days become shorter, right?
Yeah. You know what's interesting that you caught that? I was on Dave Navarro's show talking about that. Is that the tweet you saw?
Yes, that's the one. Yeah. That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and so I went in and started talking about that, and within really seconds, we started talking about how miserable the world is generally. And that, I think, is a good sort of indicator of the kind of burden that people have this year that might be a little different than in previous years. So as you're saying, the days are shorter, there's less light, and that can affect our neurobiology. There's the stress of being around family and consuming too much alcohol. There's the FOMO of looking at other people's Instagram. There's also nostalgia. There's also people that are lonely or have had loss. All that comes crushing down around the holidays. And there's something kind of weird, uncanny about the holidays where just everything goes down. It's weird. When I used to work in emergency rooms, every medical problem you could imagine would come rushing through the door, unrelated to stress, just things coming in randomly. So there's something maybe statistical about this time of year on top of that. And so there's a lot going on. But the thing I think it's worthy of a little conversation today is we're kind of a mess, this country.
I agree. I agree. Look, Dr. Drew, we've had conversations on this show in the last couple of weeks about studies that we have seen that suggest that the majority of people, over 50%, would rather not gift exchange. So something that used to be a thing that people really enjoyed and looked forward to now has just become overwhelming. It's become too much of a burden. It's become too much pressure.
And I feel like that being hidden in that is one of the problems that we're dealing with right now is complete disconnect. Yeah. As opposed to, you know, thinking of another person and then, we think about it as consumerism, but in reality, there's a healthy piece to this, which is you think about that other person, you think about something genuine about them, you bring that to them, and it's an offering of something genuine about that person that you appreciate, that you've thought about. That's connectivity. And we ain't connected. We are not connected right now. We are not in clubs. We are not in organizations. We are not in neighborhoods. We are not in communities. We're not even in families anymore. And that, to me, is, and again, you could easily say not giving gifts is just a sign of us being stressed and overwhelmed, but I think it's a sign of the lack of connectivity, which is underlying so much of what's going wrong right now.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think we are a nation of 300 million people who walk around who are almost in our own little universe.
Not to defend it, but it is in the last 3 years, really, more than any other time, I have felt more consumed by taking care of myself than I ever have. So, like,
can I ask?
But maybe it's because of self-care.
May I ask?
I'm 39.
Okay, so you're just outside of the whole millennial thing.
Yeah.
And I bet they would say the same thing. I bet that's true. But they're spending the rest of their time looking at their screen.
True, yeah.
And that is so unhealthy. We have so much envy. We have so much aggression. And then, we're acting out like mobs in social media. You've heard me talk about this before. Mm-hmm. But there is a chance, I thought we kind of came together a little bit around H.W. Bush's funeral. I feel like we have potential to come together. I have found two things I've found rather powerful right now. One is apologies. I think it's time to look at other people's points of view, and to the extent that you can really get in other people's shoes, when you get there, you'll find yourself thinking, oh, man, I didn't really see it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't really get your point of view. And go ahead and apologize. And the other emotion that there just isn't enough of, and it's an emotion that when people express it, I know they're in good shape, and that is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude, and think about the world's religions. One of their sort of core precepts always is be thankful. Lord, we're thankful for, and we never are thankful for anything. We're ingrates now.
I think you're. I mean, I certainly try. Gratitude is. I probably don't apologize as much as I should, if I'm being honest. I definitely put gratitude first and foremost. It's literally
good.
Within
good.
The first minute of waking up every day, I am grateful to A, be alive, B, be in good health, C, be able to get up and walk. And there are a lot of people who don't have those things. And I certainly recognize how fortunate I am to have a great wife and to have a great job and to have great friends and everything. I mean, I do think I've got that. But I also think when you bring up the George H.W. Bush thing, I feel like that made me sad.
hearing all those eulogies about how he was a people person and looked at the liked to work across the aisle and wanted, you know, wanted what was best for the country, not for him, and was a modest guy and had all those other great characteristics we hear about the greatest generation. And it just, to me, made me think we may never have a president like that again, because the guys who come after him aren't like that. That's, you know, those are dead times.
It's on us. We'll have it if we want it, right? And it's I think one of the things that we have to maybe do is look away from 3,000 miles east and just look locally. And that's one of the things all the craziness I'm hoping causes us to do. The local practice of democracy, the local giving, the local service, the local appreciation of the relationships we actually have. Maybe the television and mass media has made us feel too close to something we shouldn't feel so close to, right? We should be thinking, is it the local practice of democracy that's always made this country work? Well, so I don't know. We're getting deep down a rabbit hole here. But
no, I'm an optimist, probably to
me too,
a fault. But I would say that the one thing that this has done has pushed a lot of my generation towards local government, which I know for a fact more.
That's
people,
a very positive thing.
Yeah,
a very positive thing. And I'm hoping that, you know, that it also pushes us back towards real relationships, bodies in space, not in screen on screens. And that's what humans need. We just need that. And I'm kind of seeing the generation behind the millennials coming up, and I think they're into it. I think they got it, maybe. But we'll see.
So.
I mean, who knows? We've been through worse times, guys. We've been through worse. This is not, you know, that bad. I mean, we're just kind of a mess right now.
This was a very helpful conversation. I did not expect it to go as deep as it did, Dr. Drew, but you bring up some really good points and certainly some points worth thinking about. Where can we hear the podcast where you expand on this with Dave Navarro?
It's called Dark Matter. We did it last night. I don't know. It's on Dash Radio, I think.
Okay.
We got into all kinds of stuff last night. And Dave, of course, very insightful and you know, brilliant dude, and added to this conversation. But it's something I'm talking about on KBC all the time. It's something I'm talking about on This Life all the time. It's preoccupying me. And one of the things Dave asked me last night, he goes, you know, being in the public is really scary now, and it does, and it feels bad. I said, yeah, it does. But I, as somebody who claimed to be the person that's trying to be of help to people through things like radio, now is the time to step up. This is when you have to step up. When it does feel bad, it does get tough. So I plan to hang in.
Keep doing the great work on 790 KBC, noon to 3, Monday through Friday. All sorts of great Dr. Drew podcasts, including one that sounds fascinating, where you had Lisa Lampanelli in, who's got a lot going on these days.
So
yeah, she's becoming a life coach, right?
She told me the whole story, and you'll be moved. She is as amazing as a life coach as she is as a comedian. Just a human being.
By the way, just so you know, she was filling she was at big theaters for a good year.
Oh,
she was
really
killing. Decided kind of to step away a bit for her own, and then now is becoming a life coach.
So no more comedy at all?
No more comedy.
I know. I was so upset about that. I begged her to at least do one a year, please, for all of us that love her. But she's really she's a transformed person. She's amazing.
That's great. Also, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast, you can find it at drdrew.com and the Swole Patrol with Mike Catherwood as well. Download the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play. See a doctor now in the comfort of your own home. drdrew.com for all the rest. We love you, man. Thanks.
If you take the good, you take the bad. You take them both, and there you have.
Facts of life?
Facts of life.
The facts of life.
Oh.
There's a time you got to go and show you're growing. Now you know about the facts of life.
All right, Allie. We don't have time for that right now. Time for what's happening here on this Thursday morning on K-Rock.
When did that happen?
Who knows with you?
That's very true. Good point. You guys, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse in theaters December 14th. But how would you, yes, you, listening right now, like a pair of passes to the K-Rock advance screening of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse at Pacific's The Grove?
I'm going to try to go to that.
Are you?
Yeah, in case you want to murder me.
Okay, December 11th. If you want to murder Jensen, be callers 20 through 24 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to get those advanced screening passes.
Call now.
All right. Absolutely. Call now. Bean, right before, you said you had some breaking news. I'd like to hear it.
Hold on.
We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news.
Just saw this. Director John M. Chu, who we're a big fan of here on this show, we had him in when Crazy Rich Asians was getting ready to come out, which is music he made, has announced his next project. And I think everyone in this room is going to be excited about it.
Okay.
He is going to do a movie, a biopic, on Arnel Pineda, the lead singer of Journey. The film will depict his rise from an obscure singer in the Philippines to the front man of the arena rock band after getting discovered by Journey founding member Neil Schon via YouTube.
Yeah.
They made a documentary about this a couple of years ago.
Yes. I mean, are you, just be honest here, are you angling to show up in the movie the same way you did Rockstar? Because it's a very similar plot, and I think
it,
without Kevin and Bean in it, it's not right.
It was Kevin and Bean's Rockstar. You're right about that. I don't know what this film is going to be called. Probably Don't Stop Believing, I would imagine. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, Kevin and Bean's Don't Stop Believing sounds
Kevin
perfect.
And Bean's Don't Stop Believing. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I know it is the same story as Rockstar, but isn't it amazing that this kid sang on a YouTube video and he ended up being the lead singer of the band that he loved?
It's a little like our past guest, Jonah Ray.
Yes. Yeah, very similar.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This story has particularly been on my mind since I first read it a few years ago. A true fairy tale and triumph of the human spirit. An unlikely hero, an undeniable talent, the power of music, and a worldwide stage has all the ingredients I love about movies. Plus, he's a huge Journey fan, too. I don't know. I just think that's a fascinating, fascinating story. The dude sure sounds like Steve Perry, doesn't he?
Yes. Identical. Yeah. Identical.
And if it doesn't end with just a bunch of white girls singing at a sorority party drunk,
then they did
it
wrong.
Then it's wrong, yeah.
So there you go. Yeah, it sounds like you're not as impressed as I was. I think it's pretty cool.
Nope, definitely not.
I think it's great. I mean, any way you want it, I'll take it. Right? With open arms.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Just, I'm done. All right. Yeah, they sound so much alike, though. Like, to the point where I was like, oh, Steve Perry's back. No.
Yeah. If you tried to A-B it, it would be hard to determine which one is the real Steve Perry.
Same with UB40. UB40, the lead singer's gone.
It's
his brother, but they sound exactly alike.
Yeah. So weird. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that did that cause a lot of problems in the family? Have we ever done a deep dive into that?
No, but I'm looking to do their biopic.
Oh, I like it.
The UB40 pick.
Kevin Bean's Red Red Wine.
Yeah. I love it. So, not sure if you guys saw the story about Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande, but
I heard they broke up.
They did break up. Yeah. But did you hear that he blocked her on all social medias because he wants her to stop reaching out? He said, stop reaching out. You're not good for my health. I can't have this in my life. And it was essentially like, no, don't even talk to me at any point. And I started thinking about, I wonder if I have ever blocked anyone on social, like, I blocked people, but not someone I was in a relationship with.
Oh, I do that almost every time.
Do you really?
Even in good endings, yeah.
Why?
I don't want to see him every day.
Okay.
At Twitter, I might stick around, but like, I feel like, and my wife has got me in a better head place about it, but like, seeing someone's picture every single day, that's like a pretty crazy commitment to someone. You know what I mean? Like, imagine just every single day, I want to see what they're up to visually.
Okay.
It's like a thing.
A little bit that you don't want to see them happy as
no,
well?
I just don't want to see them at all. I'm not in their lives anymore.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah, we're not, I don't need to know everything going on.
But don't you want to stay friends with your exes, particularly if you leave on a good note?
No, I don't really want to stay friends with an ex.
And we're talking blocking, not just unfollowing.
I will mostly, well, it's either or. I've done both. But I will say about being friends with an ex, I think that's something we've all been fed since
that,
like
that
childhood.
We should be able to.
I don't think
be
that's
mature
a thing.
Enough.
I think we should just be acquaintances, so you see them out and good to see you. Not like an anger or anything, but like, no, you don't need to keep them around. I think it's actually kind of unhealthy.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway.
This is a whole different conversation. I'd love
it
to hear
really
other people's thoughts on this.
Yeah, we have to make that a phone topic.
But
that
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like we've been told to be friends with them.
But I disagree because sometimes you think the person is awesome, but there is some reason that makes sense that you guys can't be together as a couple. As a romantic couple, doesn't mean that's not a great person that you still would enjoy hanging out with.
I'm saying that there are going to be a very minimal amount of exceptions, but I think in most cases you are not moving on in your journey to find who you're supposed to be with until
you've
let that go.
If you're still checking in with those people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and
somebody's
think,
immature.
But I think he is also right that it's very rare for two people to come at the same time. What? For people to come to same conclusion of, you know what, you're a wonderful person. It's just not right. One person comes to that decision, and the other person is like, wait a minute.
That's lightning strike.
Yeah.
By the
so
way.
It's that's incredibly rare. Interesting.
Yeah, we'll get into it sometime.
Yeah, this is a deep dive. Let's do it. You guys remember when Red Nose Day got all the people from one of the greatest movies ever, Love Actually, back together? They found out what they had all been up to, did that? Well, they are doing it again with another movie that they're calling iconic. which I'm not sure if I'm on board, but people seem to still love it, for weddings and a funeral. They're going to reunite that cast and do a little short film dubbed One Red Nose Day and a Wedding. So they're going to get back Andie MacDowell, Kristin Scott Thomas, John Hannah, and of course, Hugh Grant. Any interest?
Yes, okay. I would like to see that. I like that movie very much. I thought they did a nice job with the Love Actually one, who was same director, right?
Mm-hmm. So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay.
There's all like a Love Actually Live going on in L.A. right now,
there
right?
sure is. Yeah. It's all the same people that they used to do at the On the Record shows, mm-hmm. and they're doing Love Actually Live.
Yeah.
Amazing. Guys, I like Christmas time so much. Everything about it is great. So have you guys heard about this show called The Year in Memoriam 2018?
Is this just where we look back on the celebrities that have died in the last 12 months?
Essentially, yes. It's going to be hosted by Robin Roberts from Good Morning America and Jimmy Kimmel. And it's all about the show honoring stars we've lost in the past year. So they're going to honor Stephen Hawking, Burt Reynolds, Stan Lee, Senator John McCain, Barbara Bush, and a lot of performances honoring Aretha Franklin, including Kelly Clarkson. So she's going to be performing, as well as a lot of people sharing stories about Aretha, Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight, Smokey Robinson. So it's kind of a huge tribute to the people we've lost.
They figured out a way to turn obituaries into a television show.
Yeah. Essentially, it's the memoriam at little quick segment at the Oscars.
Have you ever wished the Oscars memoriam was longer? Well, we have a show for you.
This
is the first step toward my full-time death channel that I'm trying
to get going. This is Bean's dream to be involved with the show. It is going to be on ABC on December 17th, the Year in Memoriam 2018.
So if you're a celebrity and looking to die, get in right before that.
I mean, you got to get in now, really. Yeah.
Jensen, do you remember a show called A Thousand Ways to Die that was on cable?
No.
It was amazing. It was recreations of people who had been stung to death by bees or had fallen into a meat processing grinder or something like that. And we used to have them on all the time because, you know, Bean loves death.
Yes.
And we finally got to the point where we talked them into letting Kevin and Bean be on the show as bodies. We were going to get killed. We were going to somehow get killed on the show. And we were so excited for our big death scene on A Thousand Ways to Die. And the show got canceled.
Were you going to be able to pick which death you had?
No, they were going to assign us something that was appropriate.
If you had to pick one, do you have a favorite?
I don't. I mean, I would have been fine to have been run over by a steamroller. Whatever they had would have been fine.
Okay.
Does that happen often?
That's what the show is about, though, is that people who died in unusual ways, right?
Steamroller.
There was one episode where somebody got locked behind in a supermarket freezer.
Oh, I mean, that's a Brady Bunch episode.
And couldn't get out and died, though.
Oh, that wasn't in the Brady Bunch episode.
Rest in peace, Alice.
So we were all set, and then they canceled the show, so we never got to be on.
Oh, bummer. So,
but there's got to be something for me on the Death Channel when we get it going.
Yeah. What would you call the Death Channel?
Oh, I don't know.
I think you go straight forward. It's called Death Channel.
The Death Channel. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Let them know what it is.
All right.
Or RIPTV, maybe.
Oh, that's good.
Oh. All right. I like it, you guys. We really worked that out. Some birthdays for you. Guitarist for REM, Peter Buck, and Judd Apatow. And that's what's happening.
A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour. You got it, thanks to a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. That'll be today with the Striker. Guys, tomorrow, I don't want to oversell it, but I think it's going to be a pretty big show. First of all, Allie wants us to revisit hangover cures because we have a lot of Mexicans listing. And their grandmas have the greatest ideas on how to beat a hangover.
Menudo.
And it is
just listen to Menudo. No, eat Menudo.
This is the season. Also, we start counting down. As you know, as we get near the end of the Kevin Bean calendar year, we start to count down the top tens. Tomorrow is going to be the first one. We're going to do the top 10 moments with of 2018.
My favorite.
We'll also be doing top 10 sound bites. We'll be doing the best callers of the year. We got top 10 Omar intros. We got a lot of good ones in the days to come. So we kick that off tomorrow. Adam Pally is going to be here, you guys.
One of my faves.
He's a tremendous actor. I guess I've seen him a lot, most recently probably in the Mindy Project, I think.
Yeah. And the best part about him, he takes these kind of appearances very serious. He loves talk show appearances, radio appearances. He brings his A-game
yeah,
for them.
Yeah, he is a wonderful interview.
Yeah.
Also, Friday means Keep It 100. You pick any song you want. We'll play that for you just after 9. And it's your final day to win your tickets for both nights of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. We've got those for you. And Beer Mug is going to be in location tomorrow as well. And if I scroll down here, I can tip you off that he is going to be in Signal Hill. He'll be at the Del Taco location at 1801 Willow Street, Signal Hill, tomorrow to go on by if you want to meet him, maybe win some stuff, including tickets to the show, and take by a new unwrapped toy to help with the toy drive that we're doing this year. So all of that tomorrow morning right here. It'll be a Friday.